Welcome to the Tiltcast. This is Trent. Tonight's episode is episode 7, and it's going to be called Expo Facto on Light Donkey Kong. Tonight we're going to be talking about Black Ops. Pretty much that's it. Nothing else has really come out. Then we're going to have some news for you. We're going to throw down our comedy thing as well as the gauntlet. So stay tuned and sit back. All right, so this is Trent, and to the right I've got Justin.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, the man who still doesn't like hats or the people who wear them.
Rex.
Yeah, and across from me I've got Mr. Matt White.
How's it going?
And he is our guest tonight for the big release of Black Ops, which we will be getting to.
Yeah, I heard he's been poop-sucking it.
Yeah.
I haven't slept very much.
No sleep, huh? That's not my reason, but, you know. He has a very soft voice, though. Yeah. But the women like it. And we won't go into the big stick joke, but anyways. So, Justin, you've been playing some games, too, lately. What have you been playing?
Well, actually, I'm going to start with one I haven't talked about much. I beat Costume Quest, actually, the other night.
Hooray.
And, actually, it was pretty fun. I can really see that it is geared toward kids. But it's a pretty cool game. I'm just going to say that. It's a pretty cool game.
So, well, actually, yeah. The other night, while Dennis, Scott, and me were playing Halo, they were going, like, where's Justin? We did get Justin in on this so we can do, like, 14 mashup and stuff. I was like, he's playing Costume Quest. And they just started ragging on you so hard. It was pretty funny.
That's all right.
And then I said, oh, wait, he's not even online anymore. Then they were like, nah, he just went invisible.
Yeah, so they know me too well.
So he can hide the fact that he's playing Costume Quest.
Well, it's going to be a kid game. I mean, you know. I got every single outfit, you know. Well, that's the point. You get these outfits, then you turn into something awesome. So sometimes it's not so awesome. Like,
well, it's like that,
like
South
unicorn,
Park episode with the
unicorn
with the martial
is not
arts
so
weapons.
Awesome because your special really? Power is healing, and it's a big fucking rainbow.
Does it shoot out of your?
It shoots out of your horn.
Your horn.
It's very phallic. So that one wasn't the coolest one. The ninja was all right. The trying to think of my favorite one.
Do you have a favorite one?
I did have a favorite one. Vampire was kind of cool. Knight was actually my favorite.
The Knight?
Yeah. He just gets a shield block ability, but he's hella useful.
Nice.
But it's funny because, like, you know, we were talking about the Glenn Beck of video games, so.
Progressive.
I'm progressive, yes. I guess Glenn Beck's not that progressive, though.
No, he's anti-progressive.
So maybe yeah. I'm not. Maybe no. I'm the Al Gore video games.
Flying around with your cape on, talking about
Man-Bear-Pig. Yeah. But no, like
you see that?
You have this like special ability where you get the Statue of Liberty costume and it looks really cute and kidsy and everything else, and then like you transform into like the big Statue of Liberty and you got this healing ability, and when you heal, like you get this like patriotic music and an eagle flies across the screen and he hears like caw, you know, and it's got like Abraham Lincoln's face on.
You know, that kinda reminds me of like in Castlevania. When you finish the taking out the Lycanthrope King guy, mm-hmm. and like you're climbing out of this crumbling place, and out of nowhere there's this eagle in front of you that talks, and I was like, oh my god, this is gayer than the fucking talking horse. And then it shows you like riding on him, and I was like, this is what every man in the armed forces dreams at night, is riding bare ass naked on top of a fucking bald eagle. You know?
And I was just, the feathers are soft on your
tank. Yeah. Other than the Lyme disease and stuff, it's still pretty cool.
The lice.
Yeah. Nice. What else have you been playing other than Costume Quest?
Well, obviously Fallout.
Yeah.
66 hours into my main game and 40 hours into the other game. And I have been going out, I promise. I just don't know. I haven't been sleeping. So there's that. And then I was playing Undead Nightmare, which is fucking awesome.
Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, man. We talked about it the other podcast, and I was like, fuck, I got to play that. So I have, and I was playing it this morning before work. I got up at 7. Mm-hmm. And played it, like, all the way till I had to go, you know, almost in the afternoon, and then probably play it, maybe not tonight, but it's, the zombies are, there's a lot of tension in that game, like, more so than a lot of zombie games.
Yeah.
Writing's really fucking hokey, but it's still top-notch, but, like, they have these zombies that crawl.
Yeah, I saw this, they remind me of the Mudmen.
Yeah, like, they run on all fours sideways.
Yeah.
And they're fast as shit, and you gotta shoot them in the head, really, to kill them, and, you know, Red Dead's aiming, it's not like Halo aiming, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little bit slow, and even though it's got a little bit of auto-aim, I mean, you really have to go into Red Dead mode, really, to kill them. When you got, like, 15 of them on you, it's like, you got to go find someplace high to hide and shoot their heads.
Nice. Can the zombies climb up?
They can pull you off the ladder as you're climbing up.
Nice.
And they can pull you off your horse.
Nice. Did they break through windows and stuff in your side places?
I haven't really been going inside places because I keep finding that I just get a whole row of them in there, and they all seem to find me. Like, they hone in on you with their zombie heightened senses.
They can smell you.
They can smell you.
Yeah.
But there's little quests, like, you know, this lady says, oh, I'm sick, blah, 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 and you're running to the side of the road, and she starts throwing up, and then all of a sudden she's, like, trying to bite your neck. You're like, yes. But, like, remember all the little cut scenes where, like, you put your shotgun into the guy's chin and blow his brains out?
Yeah.
All that stuff's it's pretty cool.
Nice, nice.
It's fucking awesome.
Nice. Is there anything else you've been playing?
Besides those three games?
Yeah.
Not really. I'm going to be playing a lot of Assassin's Creed next week. So.
Yeah. Well, I remember you hopped on Steam, or you were talking about hopping on Steam to see if there's anything new that was coming out.
No, I just decided to look at news instead.
So all right, all right.
I was checking out news the last couple of days, but really, okay, that's all I got going. I haven't got any new releases because I just didn't have the time, I guess.
All right. I've been, before we get into Black Ops...
Because we're saving you.
Yeah.
So it's to savor the moment.
I like to savor it. But anyways, I've been doing the usual bunch of Halo Reach, of course, nonstop. Pretty much every night this week was just nothing but Halo Reach.
Playing like 8 hours a day or something.
Nah, not even that. Probably about maybe 3 hours at night. So, oh,
okay.
Yeah. So like most of the time during the day I've been working on biology. But
well, every time I come home you're on Halo, that's why I assume it.
Yeah, because I usually finish my homework by about 9:30 or 10. So, but no, did a lot of Halo Reach. Picked up Fallout again. New Vegas, just to go back through. And I was going to go through with Caesar's thing because I saved my game at a certain point where I could go back and try some of the other endings without having to start all over from scratch. And after about 10 minutes, I realized for some reason Caesar's people don't like me anymore. I don't know what I did.
So you did something in the past and it's coming back to haunt you?
No, I didn't do anything in the past. I actually just walked right out of Caesar's place. And
it might be a faction you befriended.
I have no idea. But usually, it's like 1 minute I'm inside the gates talking to Caesar and it says that I'm fine with them on my screen, and then as soon as I walk out the gates and leave, if I try to return, I'm vilified all of a sudden. I don't know, and I didn't do anything. So I don't know what it is, but that game has a few glitches, so I might just chalk it up to that for right now. So, but I've been doing that, and Amnesia.
Yeah, when I talked to you on the phone earlier today, you were saying something about playing that.
Yeah, it's a new game on Steam. That's it's about $20, and it's just your typical horror video game.
Is it a horror shooter?
No, it's... going around, you remember how Myst and all those were?
Yeah.
The first person walk around, kind of grab stuff. Like, a lot of the old games used to be like that.
What was that other one? Fatal Frame or something?
Yeah,
like
Fatal
that?
Frame. This is from the same guys that did Penumbra.
Okay.
And
I kind of remember that.
Yeah. And it's got some good atmosphere to it. I haven't gotten fully deep into it, so I'm not going to...
Is it an adult video game?
Yeah, it's a horror-based video game, so yeah, it's got a lot of...
Not just cheesy creeps.
No, not just cheesy creeps. They try and be a little bit more ambient with it. But like I said, I'm not anywhere. I just got the tip in. So
just the tip.
Yeah, so I'm going to come back to that one probably next week to talk about. But yeah, I am working on that one. And what else have I been doing? I tried to pick up Left 4 Dead again just for some verses. So
yeah,
that's about.
I need to do some more of that.
Yeah, that's about all I've been doing right now. And so now we're going to move on to our guest.
Black Ops. All right. Sounds good.
So tell us, what have you been playing, obviously?
Black Ops, of course. Ever since Monday night, I just...
Yeah, didn't you... They had, like, Chick-fil-A open so that the gamers waiting could eat food.
Yeah, I actually waited in line at the mall, and I showed up kind of late, so I got some Chick-fil-A and waited for the line to start, which it went fairly quick, which was nice.
I like your waffle fries.
They were good. They told me they were out of spicy chicken, which I was somewhat upset about. But so
all they had was the basic filet.
Well, no, I got chicken nuggets. I guess they had the basic filet. I was afraid they told me they were out of that too. So I don't know. I waited in line. It went pretty quick once everything hit, and just kind of got everybody in and out. And I proceeded to take my PlayStation up to this bar. Cheers.
You took your PlayStation up to the bar?
Yeah, where I sat and started on the campaign mode.
Dude, man, I went there once. Is it over there on Mingo?
Yeah,
dude.
There in Mingo.
I went there one time, and they told me my ID was fake. I'm a 31-year-old man, about to be 32, and I was like, what? And he goes, this is obviously a fake ID. And I was
didn't you look at him and
fuck?
Go like... I have gray.
Yeah. This is probably about 5 years ago, so I was still in my 20s, but I was like in my, like, you know, almost late 20s. I was just like, What the fuck, man? Can you not read? Can you not, like, look at my ID? It's, how can this be fake? And I have never gone back since.
Yeah, well, I go up there, just pretty, they're pretty cool up there, and just kind of hang out, and they let me play Call of Duty, obviously, so I plugged it in, started on the campaign a little bit, and it was awesome. I was really impressed. Even, like, gameplay, just, even campaign play just looks great. I mean, it's a little different, obviously, because it's Treyarch, and it's kind of like World at War. They brought the dogs back, which is cool. I'm really excited about that. But
what do you mean, the dogs?
You know, World at War, there were attack dogs.
That was the one with Kiefer Sutherland, wasn't it?
I don't remember. But this, this the new Black Ops has Ice Cube in it.
Yeah, I heard that there was a lot of like big-time personalities that were in the game.
Yeah, I think, I can't really think of anybody else that's in there.
Freddie Mercury.
the ghost of Freddie Mercury.
The ghost of Freddie Mercury.
Actually, Borat is playing Freddie Mercury in the new Queen movie.
Really?
Yeah, because nice. He looks just like him. So yeah. Anyway, side note.
But I mean, overall, campaign play is great. They did a great job with it. And as for multiplayer goes, just what I'd expect out of Call of Duty. Kind of, it's a little different. It's a little different from Infinity Ward, just as you expect, just from original Modern Warfare to World at War. And switching back and forth always takes a little bit of time, but it's...
Well, I think one of the things that's important about these shooters is a lot of fans kind of want to see a lot of the same with a few new things. Is that kind of what you're getting from it?
Well, actual gameplay, it's pretty much the same. I mean, you get the different maps, you get new maps, you get different guns, you know, of course, because it's set in Cold War era, and you get some Vietnam. It's a lot the same. It's just like every other Call of Duty. I mean, like, little minor things are different. Little minor things, like, it just feel like it's different transitioning from Modern Warfare to
Vietnam.
Just the way a gun shoot and things like that. Like, when World War came out, and it's kind of harder than playing the original Modern Warfare because the guns just weren't as good.
So that's the one where everybody... was grenade happy, and you just hear grenade, and you see this little arrow, and you're like, "What's that point now?" And boom, your leg flies off. So that always pissed me off.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the multiplayer play is a lot different because instead of earning, when you earn guns by leveling up, but aside from the guns, like when you get your attachments, you actually like get COD money or COD bucks in there. And that's totally separate than your experience. And you get this money, and you have to go buy the attachments. So you buy what attachments you want.
So you earn an upgrade for a weapon, like an upgraded weapon, and then you buy your attachments.
Yeah, then you go from there and buy your attachments. And
attachments.
You have to buy your different perks, and I feel like there's a lot more attachments in this game as compared to...
A lot of more apparatus.
Yeah, and I also like the way...
Get this thing off me, man! Sorry. Every time we talk about attachments and apparatuses, we have to go back to 7.
I was going
to
say Orgasmo.
No, I was thinking of 7, when he has a drill cock on him after they made him have sex with the hooker. So. I was like, get this fucking thing off me, man! He made me fuck her. Anyway. Great actor.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the other things that I like about it is I like the way they did, like, the hardcore and core modes. Because usually, I mean, you got, like, well, in World of War, you had, like, hardcore and you had core, you know. And the last one, they had, like, hardcore matches. In Modern Warfare 2, they had, like, hardcore matches. And in this, you have an actual core mode, and then you have, like, I forgot what the second one's called, but there's three higher levels that you actually have to level up to until you're able to play the other ones. And the other one's just...
So you're talking about multiplayer stuff then, right?
Yeah, like multiplayer
stuff.
Yeah,
so you got to reach like a level cap before you can even go into those?
Yeah.
Do you think that helps with like keeping noobs from the hardcore area?
I don't know. I like noobs in the hardcore area. It's more fun that way. Because,
they're cannon fodder.
Yeah, and then you don't get destroyed. Then you can actually go in and, you know, mess with all the people in there, and it's pretty much one-shot kill in hardcore mode, so...
With this game, I know you've been anticipating it. You've been talking about it since, like, this summer.
Yeah, so like June. So
yeah.
I think I pre-ordered it.
I know you've been pretty hyped. How much time have you put into it? Because it came out Monday, and it's Wednesday now.
So. Well, it came out Monday at 11:59
p.m. At least a solid 24 hours.
Jesus Christ.
At the very least a solid
Do you work?
Hours. Yeah, I was actually off work for the last 2 days. So.
Did you request work off?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's what
I was. So it was nice. I mean, it's a lot of fun, and there's some things that are different, but it lives up to the hype, just like any other Call of Duty when it comes out. I mean,
so really, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say the actual gaming. How long of a game do you think? Have you beaten it already?
Yeah, I've already beaten it, but it's not extremely long. I don't know.
About five, 6 hours.
I don't know. I switched back and forth between the campaign and online play. Like, if I got bored with online play, I got couldn't get past part, and I kept dying in campaign play, then I'd just go level up in multiplayer.
Right.
So I had to beat it, because I usually only play the campaign once before it's just, you know, the next year of multiplayer Call of Duty.
So you see it. There's a lot of replay, that you're going to get out of this. You're definitely going to get $60 worth out of this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, this will entertain me for the next however many days until the next one comes out.
Well, it's like
November.
Yeah, it's like with Halo Reach. I mean, you know, I bought it more for the multiplayer than I mean, whenever you originally had before I got it, I'd already pretty much gone through most of the campaign before I went out and bought it. And then I went through the last, 3 hours of campaign, and I've just done nothing but multiplayer ever since.
Yeah, and I mean, the campaign's always fun. Like, with any of the Call of Duties, they keep it interesting. It's kind of... And the levels, they're not... I mean, there's a lot of really good cutscenes and graphics on it were pretty good. At some parts, I felt like it was kind of GoldenEye, and they didn't go all out on it.
So, but, I mean, graphically, you give it a pretty high rating on graphics?
Yeah, I give it a pretty good rating on graphics. It keeps getting better, but, I mean, there's always the parts where you feel like it could have been done a little better, but overall...
Well, I didn't get a chance to play it, so I read a lot of reviews. I heard they mixed a lot of, real stuff that happened in Vietnam with some stuff they made up. Did it come across that way?
They have these scenes where it's just a bunch of different stuff happening. They have those scenes, it's just, actual video, and it's just, in between, the storyline, and it'll, show stuff that's going on. As far as the historical, I have no idea. I honestly don't.
I hear you.
But, I mean, they did a great job with it, and I'm really happy with it, so...
Right on.
People were telling me I was going to be disappointed, and that was far from the truth. So,
sounds like you're getting your money's worth, getting the best bang for your buck. I know stories, with that kind of game, story isn't as important with that, because you're going to play the campaign for a few hours, and then most of the time you're just going to be playing a lot of the different online stuff.
Yeah, I mean, campaign mode, it's just kind of there. I mean, it's fun, but it's just there.
Most people won't buy it for the campaign.
Another thing I like that Treyarch brought back was the zombie mode. Immediately once you get the game, I believe it was an option in the beginning, you can do multiplayer zombie mode, Nazi zombies from World at War. So you can actually go straight into multiplayer.
How many maps do they have for that?
As far as I know, I think there's 3. I didn't play that much of it.
Is it the same thing where you board up the windows and take shots and stuff like that?
Did they make it a little less... when I played it was on World at War.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those. It was actually more of an annoyance than entertaining.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that you just keep trying to get to the next level, you know, and... It's horrible when you die and you have to start back over at level 1, and it's just the longest matches in the world. And
when you're playing with other people, it's cooperative though, right?
Yeah, it's cooperative. It's totally cooperative, and it's just like the other one. You get to a certain, you kill so many people, or you get so many points, you can go unlock the door and keep going.
Did they make it where you have to unlock weapons that are on the walls
Yeah, and you have to have a certain amount of points to go get that weapon, and if you run out of ammo,
you got to pay for boards to board out the window.
Well, actually, I think when you board up the windows, that's when you receive some of the money. Because I
not really.
Or no, actually, it does.
No, it charges you,
and then when you get the kills, you get the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only played one of the maps. I didn't really try to get too into it. I was just somewhat excited about it because...
You want to try one of the other features.
Yeah, I wanted to try one of the other features, and it's one of those games I'll always go back to. I don't play a whole lot of it, but I'll always go back to it and play it, you know, as much as I can and try and just have fun with it. And It's fun to play when you have friends there, too. Just join the match and have a couple people on the same split screen playing. It's also pretty fun.
There's a lot of different multiplayer options in this one that I've heard about. Of course, you were telling me about the... what was that?
The wager mode.
Explain that to people that don't know what that is.
Well, and as like... Where it's different than the other Call of Duties is you obviously you get the money for doing your matches and you get COD bucks for also doing contracts that you can buy and you have to complete.
Is a contract like a challenge?
It's like a challenge, but when you complete, it's like they're shorter challenges. So when you beat it, you actually get money for doing that, but you have to buy the contract and they give you a certain amount of money more. But once you buy it, it expires after a certain amount of time, after a certain amount of gameplay. So you have a certain set amount of time that you can build up to that. But when you get the money from it, you can actually go do wager battles. And the wager battles, it's on the online multiplayer. But you go in and there are different types of matches. There's one bullet in the chamber and there's a few other ones like sharpshooter that you go in and you bet a certain amount to play it. And so you go in and you, once you come out of it, or just like one in the, excuse me, I'm sorry. Once you're like playing like one in the chamber, you go in and you have like three lives. And you have these three lives, and you only have one bullet in your gun, and you only have a handgun and a knife. And so you can run around, and every time you kill somebody, you get an extra bullet. And your object is to kill the most people and stay alive the longest with your three lives. And if you win the match, first place gets the most, second place gets the second most, and then third place gets the third most. And everybody else doesn't get anything. And I believe you lose the money.
So do they set up the wager before you go in so everybody bids?
Well, you just join the game. And once you join the game, it just says you don't actually bid on it. I think it's a set amount. So you just go in, and then like the prize is a certain amount. For each, first, second, and third, and it keeps getting less and less.
That's kind of cool.
It's a good way to get money, but I also feel like you're going to get more money from just gameplay and doing contracts. So,
yeah, but I think it's a different kind of competition, I think, than any other game has right now.
It really is. There's just so many players on, and there's people that are just amazing at it, too, and there's people from all walks of life, too.
Have you experienced, the server's been pretty good since you've been playing?
Yeah, it's been great. I haven't had any problems at all.
That's good.
So far, so.
You're always kind of worried about that with some of the multiplayer games going into it, like the release day. Like there's
Medal
gonna be
of Honor.
Yeah.
Down. Last year on PlayStation Network, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 went down for a while.
Are you just worried because, you know, that those games are big sellers, so, like, this probably sold 3 million units or something like that right out of the box, you know?
Yeah, another, like, one cool thing they do in the game on the multiplayer, it has, like, the C of the Call of Duty, like, counter, and it says, like, these many grenades have been thrown, these many flags have been captured, and then it says, like, this percentage of the world's population's playing.
That's
so
crazy.
So I think I saw, like, a 0.5, which is, like, millions and millions of people, which is...
That's crazy.
Actually, it sold 7 million in the first 24 hours of its release for Black Ops.
That's more than two times what I said.
Yep. So you're way off.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people in 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, that brings in the question, though. What do you expect? Like, you've played a lot of the other Call of Duties, right. And have you grabbed a lot of the DLC content they put out for it?
Just, you know, the maps.
The map packs, yeah, like map packs. When they did the free ones way back and onward.
Yeah, I mean, when new map packs come out, I get the new map pack, just try to keep up with everybody, play something new. And
did you grab the Modern Warfare 2 maps, the DLCs they put out?
I didn't do any Modern Warfare 2 maps.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you... I know that Call of Duty has always kind of evolved over the years with their DLCs. From what you have played, what do you expect to see based on the game itself, plus what you've seen them evolve over the years? What do you expect to see with this new DLC that might be coming out maybe
Christmas
in April?
Or
no, they'll probably push
that.
So
they're coming out with a campaign for DLC or just map packs?
No, they haven't announced yet. I'm just based on... Cause
just the map packs and things?
Yeah, because Modern Warfare 2 DLC didn't come out until 4 months after the game came out, so I'm expecting it'll probably be around April or so is when if they put out the DLC.
I think they usually try to do three. I think there's three map packs for every.
So do you think they're going to use some of the same maps from this game or from past games, or they're going
to
maybe?
I would like to see some Modern Warfare 2 maps, like the original maps on there.
Some revisits.
Really, they probably won't do that, but. World at War maps, maybe Castle off World at War would be kind of fun too. I don't know if they will or not. But
what about extra missions? Or are you just more focused on the multiplayer?
I'm really more focused on the multiplayer. I could either way.
There ain't nothing more fulfilling than ponying somebody.
Either way, it doesn't matter to me.
That's what it's always get from most of the people that play this or Modern Warfare, Medal of Honor. Those are the three big modern warfighter shooters. Most people just give two shits if the campaign was good or not, or the story was good or not, or the voice acting was good or not. Yeah. They just want to make sure that the gameplay on multiplayer was really fucking solid.
Exactly. How was the voice acting and the story for the actual campaign? I mean, you said it had Ice Cube, was it? Yeah.
It was pretty good. Yeah, they have Ice Cube in it. I don't remember what exactly he was, but he does talking like during the game, like when they say something like spy planes in the air or something.
Oh, he played the aviator guy.
Yeah, he would do that too. Nice. So
that's why they tied in that thing with if you pre-order, you can get the aviator outfit.
Because Ice Cube.
Yeah, because it was.
Well, I don't know if it's actually him. He's just the guy that like says like RC on the ground with the new remote control bombs. Which are pretty fun. Like people like hear you come in and you like chase them down with it and eventually hit them. Somebody like pop out from behind a corner and you can get two people. It's pretty nice.
That's funny. No, I know that people like Ice Cube and. Actually, both of the Ices, Ice Cube and Ice-T, are big Halo and Modern Warfare and Call of Duty and Medal of Honor fans.
Or for those that don't know, and then I knew this only because Bombcast brought it to light, but Ice-T does like these little reviews on Twitter for all the games he's playing.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's, so he's like
they're
huge
actually very
in the
entertaining.
Gaming.
They're actually very entertaining.
He has the most succinct reviews on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
160 characters in reviewing a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. He's actually really good. With doing it, but they're also, I mean, like they're also huge fans of these game series, so it's kind of nice to, and I bet they were really happy to get involved with being put into some of these games that they're fans of. Like I do remember Kiefer Sutherland was in, I think it was World at War, and because I remember I was sitting there playing the game and this guy sitting there talking the entire time. He's like your commander, and I'm like that voice is so fucking familiar. I don't know from where. And I got off the game.
That's the guy from Lost Boys.
Well, no, I got off the game and I was like sitting there and I've known of him before this show, but it's just become synonymous to call him this Jack Bauer. And
yeah,
I was just like, holy
Jason.
Fuck, that's Jack Bauer. Because, our friend Jason's like obsessed with, you need to watch this show.
he's kind of like got a Hulk Hogan voice.
Yeah, he's like, you need to watch this show. I'm going to buy you. I'll send you the first season. He'll do that. He'll buy people the first season, or he'll say he's going to. And then the next day you get a package in the mail, and it's the first season 24, and he goes, that's mine. I just sent it to you overnight. Just give it back to me when you're done. but he's, like, majorly obsessed with that. And I was like, that's fucking Jack Bauer. You know, so, and I don't know if he was a huge fan of the game series or not, which got him involved with it, but I know that Ice-T and Ice Cube and all them are big fans of those games. And it'd be nice, I was hoping with Reach, because they have gotten more to bringing celebrities into games, that if they would have brought, like, Emil or somebody like that, would have been voice acted by some bigger celebrity.
Well, that'll actually segue into something that I'm going to talk about in the news. Yeah. But there's a lot of people that you wouldn't expect to play video games, and
that are pulling behind the VGVN?
Yeah, well, and it's just like, okay, I think going to Fallout, like, what's his name from... the voice for
President Eden or
no for Benny.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I don't remember who it was.
Now I'm just having a brain fart, but yeah, he was like somebody you'd never expect to be in video games. Period. He's on my review for crying out loud.
Really, he's in your review. So should I just go and look at your review to find that out, or what? Yeah, I keep talking. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's in my review, actually. He's the voice by it. Anyways, yeah, some of the people, like, I mean, you're in your mid-20s, and how many people, like, in our generation, like, play a fuck ton of video games? There's still a lot of people, and it's not like we're really that shy about it, you know?
Oh, no, nobody's shy about it.
We go out to the bar and everything, and we go drinking and everything else. We also play a bunch of fucking video games. We're not really considered, like, nerds.
No, I brought my PlayStation up.
It was Matthew Perry?
Yeah, it's Matthew Perry.
Are you serious? It was Matthew Perry?
Matthew Perry was Benny.
Jesus.
Hearing Matthew Perry say fuck a lot was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, man. Yeah, especially after, like, you know, movies like The Whole Nine Yards and, there's a lot of cursing in that, but in The Whole Nine Yards, Three to Tango.
He went on Oprah,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking on and on about Fallout and how he wanted to be a part of it, and he bought an Xbox and a copy of Fallout and gave it to her on her show.
I'm sure she had her assistant play it,
like a Fallout fan.
Or her husband, her husband, whatever his name is, like, oh, geez, they always make fun of him. I can't remember his name.
The mustache.
Yeah. But I just call him Thurston because I don't remember his name. But anyways, but no, that's funny as hell that it's Matthew Perry. That just, you know, Three to Tango, Friends, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, Friends. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I kept thinking Cheers. So I was like, no, not Cheers.
Well, they have actually, like, a lot of celebrities, like, you know, in that game for one. Because I remember I told you it had Danny Trejo playing one of your companions. You got Michael Dorn, which you knew. You know, and they got William Sadler, which I don't know if a lot of people know who that is. He played Death and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, as well as was in Die Hard 2, played the main bad guy. Yeah, Chief Hanlon. Ron Perlman, of course, is the narrator. You got to love Ron Perlman, though.
Felicia Day.
Yeah, Zachary Levy. Wayne Newton is one of the best, I think, on that. Dave Foley was one that I was really happy about. Rob Corddry, which... You know, he does some of the, like, Hot Tub Time Machine that Clown Hospital thing and all that. He's actually a really funny guy. Michael Hogan.
Yeah.
Jeez. Alex Rocco. Oh, God. There's just, like, so many people on here that I just would not even imagine. Now, I knew Michael Rocco was on there because I think he does Big Sal. Yeah, he does Big Sal because I could recognize his voice anywhere.
Well, Michael Hogan, Battlestar fucking
America. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was in the first one, too, wasn't he?
Yeah. He's also in Simple Curve.
No, but, I mean, he was also in the first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of interesting that, and some of these people are kind of big into this stuff too, but
yeah.
Matthew Perry is actually huge into fucking video games. You look at that guy and he's like, got to be like late 40s.
Well, I always thought he was just a nerd, not that type of nerd, if you understand what I mean. I didn't think he was that type of
Then you got Vin Diesel.
But all props to him. Oh, well, Vin Diesel's like a pen and paper RPG, old school fan.
Like he throws nods left and right, and you go into his interviews about Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, I've always talked about getting him on. Yeah. I've always talked about doing a Skype cast with him, because it would just be funny as hell to have a Skype cast with Vin Diesel. So about RPG.
If he's listening, Vin Diesel, you're welcome.
You are more than welcome to come out here. And I would want you to give me just a P.O. box so I can send some naked photos. No, I'm just kidding. So I can send my Riddick stuff and have you sign it for me, because I'm actually a huge Riddick fan. Chronicles was a little over the top. I heard part 3, they're going to go back to the roots of it. But the video games, though.
Pitch Black.
Yeah, Pitch Black was a phenomenal fucking movie. Yeah, Tuhi did a fabulous job with that. But the video games, though, are actually two of the hardest video games I've ever played. You die, like, every 2 minutes.
Well, so I'm going to segue back to Medal of Honor. Call of Duty.
Medal of
Duty. I'm offended.
It's Call of Honor. Medal of Duty.
Medal of Duty. Sounds like a bad porn.
Bizarro World, yeah. Anyway, no, that's the Tom Hanks renditioning of it.
So, obviously, it sounds like you like the game.
Love it.
Love it.
I absolutely love it.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah, two thumbs up for sure.
Nice.
That's cool. So that's our little intro review for Medal of Honor.
Impressions.
Just kidding.
Jesus, man.
Ticks, man.
I was really disappointed with Medal of Honor.
Do you have a problem?
Andrew really liked it, but
yeah, I know Andrew did. But
Andrew likes everything.
Yeah, Andrew likes whatever.
He didn't like Kirby though, or Spider-Man, but that's, you know, no accounting for taste there. So.
I don't know. Kirby might have been good.
I don't know, but Spider-Man. Shattered Dimension, you cannot trash on that game, Andrew. He didn't even beat it. I was on the phone with him, and he's like sitting there bitching about this game, and I'm like, I've already beaten it. I'm like, what are you complaining about? He says, it's kind of boring, blah, blah, blah. The levels are so small. It's like, wait till you get to like the end of Act 2, Act 3, the levels like Doc Octi, massive levels. He's like, I just finished like Act whatever, and I'm just getting into this act. And I was like, and you're already pigeonholing the game for being shit, and you haven't even really got into it. And he's just like, I'm taking it back. I'm like, what a dick.
Yeah. So, Andrew, we're trashing on you again while you're not here.
Yeah. No, see, Holly would have liked that game.
No, she wouldn't.
No, she would have. She would have got just because Andrew didn't like it.
Yeah, we have this ruling thing about Holly being like the Bill O'Reilly of video games because she gives everything kind of a mediocre review, and every now and then she comes out with one. She's like, oh, I actually like that one.
Yeah, like Scribblenauts.
She's probably the harshest reviewer in this group.
Yeah.
She's got very particular tastes. It's angular.
She's pretty mean about it. So.
No. Anyways, yeah. Well, I mean, you're leading.
Yeah. Well, I guess that we are done with the Black Ops impression cast.
Well, and that's all we really are. I mean, we do our full-length reviews on the website when we get to them.
Yeah.
When we finish the games.
Also, the game's only been out for like 2 days, technically.
2 days. It's really not.
I thought he was about to go like 2 days, 14 minutes, blah, 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 36 seconds.
It's almost been exactly 48 hours.
Thought he was going to do a Rain Man thing. So.
Like 23 hours and like so many minutes.
So it's been like 48 hours and you're like, 48 hours it's been out and I'm only sitting at 24 hours of gameplay. I need to get my balls back in there.
Exactly.
Finish it up a bit.
At least so. Prestige.
Yeah. Yeah. Get some of those more MP kills. That's always a good thing. Anyway, we're going to, I guess, segue over to news a little bit here. Justin, you got some news for us?
You got some news? Yeah. I've been talking a lot about Minecraft. Well, there's this guy named Gary Bingham, and I can put up a link to this later, but he's a pro LARPer. Anyways, we can harp on LARPing later. He made a short film based on Minecraft.
Oh, God.
It's a live-action Minecraft.
Does he have live-action vampires?
He has some live-action zombies.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit better.
Yeah, so there's no vampires in Minecraft.
No masquerade.
But
sorry, Susie.
Yeah, vampire the masquerade. But, yeah, there was a little video that he put out. I checked out a little bit of it. It's actually kind of impressive. Kind of funny because I don't know how you make a video or a movie or a short on Minecraft, but this guy did.
Well, isn't it just capture desktop streaming video?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, hook up a program so you can...
He got actors.
No. Oh.
It's live action.
It's live action based on Minecraft.
Based on Minecraft. Like, I didn't get all the way through it because...
So he used a lot of cardboard to build the sets?
I don't know. I need to get into how he was, like, digging into the ground and making his little castle. Because that's got to be interesting.
Probably Photoshop.
The makers of Stalker, the video game, I don't know if you remember that. It's
Russian
game that's really... Here's my thing with Stalker. There were some really cool visuals in it, and there's a lot of cool things about it, but Stalker was depressing as shit. Mm-hmm. Like, the music was depressing. The atmosphere was bleak.
I actually have your copy of that.
That's not actually my copy. It's TJ's.
Oh.
But, anyways, I'll get that back to you.
How many years have you had?
A couple.
Yeah, that's what's fun.
But, yeah, it had everything right to a fault. Like, if that makes sense. Like,
to where it was overdone.
It's so bleak. You feel like you're part of the apocalypse, and it's just depressing. You just want to shoot yourself.
So you kind of feel like Viggo Morgenstern's wife in The Road. You just kind of want to kill yourself. You're like, fuck this.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak. But, yeah, there's a new TV show they're trying to put out in Russia.
In Russia?
Based on Stalker the game. The makers of the video game are putting out the TV show.
Nice. I would not mind seeing that.
I'd like to see how it turns out because we haven't had anything post-apocalyptic, really.
Well, The Walking Dead.
That's something new, though. But for the most part, that's not something they usually see on TV.
Yeah.
Let's see. There was a guy that spent $335,000 on virtual real estate.
In The Sims, or what?
No, it was on an online game. It's called Entropia. It's kind of an MMO kind of deal, but he has paid the most on virtual real estate.
Did he actually have a broker that handled that for him, or did he do it himself?
No, it was I guess what he bought was, it was a single transaction with another guy, and he...
That usually doesn't sound like a fun thing.
No, he got a mall, a stadium, a club, and a number of biodomes.
What the fuck?
But $335,000.
If there is such a job as a virtual real estate broker, I want that job. Just because you know how easy that would be? People come over, I got a laptop set up with an HDTV hooked up to it, going like, and this can be your swimming pool? Yeah, it's like, you know, just
for make-believe
Sims
items,
wandering around.
Like, people were selling Diablo items on
eBay.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
My uncle did that for a little while, the guy that got me into all that shit. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I'm making money on Diablo. And he's just like one of those kind of closet nerds. He's a plumber. Like, you look at him, he doesn't look like a video
Mario.
Gamer. He looks like Mario. A little bit punchy. He's got, like, the, like, trucker stash. He's a pretty cool guy. I like him a lot.
We call it the Mega Ride stash. But yeah.
He has a mustache to ride.
Well, I remember even you, like, the Warcraft accounts being sold. You know, you could sell Warcraft accounts with all your level ladies. And
The latest one I had, I'd gotten somebody that had offered me $3,500 while I was still playing it. And I was like, no, I'm too involved with my Warcraft.
Fuck you.
And so
you could have paid rent for, like, ever with that.
Yeah, I was pretty involved, so I got... I should have sold that account.
You should go off and sell it now.
No, it's not worth as much now. But
I'm sure it's still worth about a grand.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I lost the account.
Go on. Oh, never mind.
Brian has it. A friend of mine, but...
Oh, yeah.
I think he lost the account, too. Thanks to somebody in Blizzard said we were hacking or something, and he'd just been playing my account for a year.
Ah, that's BS.
So, I think it's lost. But it doesn't matter.
It's not the first time Blizzard's tried to sue the shit out of somebody for... whatever.
Yeah, so. They were always really fucking strict with that shit.
Yeah.
Microsoft is suing Motorola over Xbox Tech. I guess basically what's going on is not everything inside the Xbox was made by Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's part of the Wi-Fi shit.
Oh. That's not good.
Yeah, some of the video codecs are licensed to Motorola. And now it's a subject of court battle between the two companies.
The video codecs are used For the transcribing for doing video playback?
I am not 100% sure. I'm just looking at little snippets of news that I was grabbing this morning. But it's in court right now, so I don't know what's going to happen with that.
That sucks that they're going to, if they lose some licensing rights to codecs, because I use my Xbox largely as a video playback device because I have Views, which is a program that you can use for streaming video to your Xbox.
Oh, yeah. I use it for DVDs all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's some people out there, just to say, that use it for downloading illegal movies. Fuck them. But it's largely...
But it is cool that you can take stuff. It's mm-hmm. I think it's easier than using the Microsoft...
The Windows Center?
The Media Center thing.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think the Views is a lot easier, and so I end up using it to stream my stuff.
I have stuff that won't even play through Windows Media Center that's just regular legal stuff that will not play through it through the Xbox, so I have to use Views in order to do that.
Well, like some of the trailers and stuff, I'd rather just play it straight through Views.
Yeah, or you can copy it onto a thumbstick and plug it in, but then again, that's kind of a pain in the ass having to go back. Because some of these files... you know, can take forever to copy over, and it's just eaten into time. So, but if they lose some of those video codec licensings, I wonder what's going to happen with some of their playback options. So,
I don't know. We'll find a way around it.
They need to really incorporate MP4 and AC3.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice, and some MKV flash video in there as well, because that'd make it have a lot more functionality on video.
One of the other things I was going to bring up, and this was getting into the adults and video games thing, is... video game violence in games. You know, we were talking about the Governator.
Yeah,
basically said, you know, that we needed to. He had filed a lawsuit with the Supreme Court on free speech and how free speech should be basically implied. So, like, he's right now really upset with video games in general and how violent they are and all that other bullshit.
Probably because all the Terminator games sucked. That's probably
maybe.
Why.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like he was a part of those games, which kind of annoys me.
Like the Aerosmith Terminator game? Yeah. That thing sucked.
Or the one that was that the one that was on Sega with the gun?
It was on Sega, but I'm thinking more of the console one, you know? It was whenever Terminator 2, I think it was, came out. The Aerosmith got tied into it. And they did this huge Terminator Aerosmith thing, and there was a game for it where they incorporated Terminator and Aerosmith into each other, and it was just so horrible.
That's pretty goofy.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty horrible.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so right now, the thing is protecting video games is free speech. One thing that's not protected by free speech, though, is obscenity. And right now, the people that are siding with Schwarzenegger on this are trying to classify extreme violence as obscenity. And so... that's kind of a big deal because that infringes on our free speech rights. A lot of the arguments when I was reading online, I was actually reading on somebody that was for the banning of video games, so I was reading the story on there, and they were talking about how they should merge the
categorizing of violence into obscenity, and so it restricts the sale to minors.
So NC-17, yeah, pretty much and adult video games.
And it's kind of irritating because, it's really irritating because I think with like your Call of Duties, your Fallouts and things like that, the majority of players for these are people our age. Majority, you know, the majority of people who are listening to this radio show, I mean, it's rated explicit for a reason. We wanted adults to listen. We didn't really want a bunch of kids listening to us to review it. And part of the purpose for reviewing, I think, is for adults to make decisions on should my kid have this or not. I think, you know, if I had kids that were, you know, elementary age, yeah, I'd be giving them Costume Quest and shit like that. But I'd also put locks on my Xbox.
Like Little Big Planet.
And, you know, I'm not going to have my kid playing Fallout and blowing somebody's brains out. Because, you know, I mean, it's not really stuff for little kids, but, you know, for me, it's fine. I can distinguish between violence, and I think most kids can. Remember there was that episode of Bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they were talking
about
Penn and Teller's Bullshit, where they had this kid that played a lot of, I think it was Modern Warfare.
Modern Warfare, Halo, Call of Duty, all these big shooter games. He was a big fan of it, yeah.
And his parents had no problem with him playing, but again, his parents made the decision. Then they took him out to the gun range.
Yeah, and actually put
and
a
get,
real
they put
AK.
Like a, they put like a, an M16 in his hands and said, shoot this. He had a target practice. He shot it one time and he started crying.
Yeah, well, no, he shot it once and it scared the crap out of him. And they said, do you want to shoot it again? He's like, no. And then he started to cry. Not making fun of the kid.
No,
making
but it was,
fun of the people out there who say violence in video games educates children to go out and pick a gun up and kill people. No, because they'll start crying the second they fire one. They even think of firing one shot off,
and
you know?
And I mean, the majority of people that were waiting in line with me, the majority of them were adults.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I went to pick up StarCraft, and I would say 30 or 40% of the people were in their late 30s and 40s, and I was like, holy shit.
That's because they've been waiting for part two, like, since 10 years
well,
ago.
Well, okay, to get back to this, my uncle introduced me to StarCraft when I was a kid. He's about 15 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, StarCraft, the first one came out in the late 90s, you know? And so he was in line, not at the same one I was, but he was waiting release day for StarCraft as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it's just like a lot of adults play video games now because that generation has grown up.
We grew up with video games.
The generation before us, really, you know, the people who grew up in the 70s, maybe not as much, but especially like my parents' generation from the 60s, my dad plays Pac-Man and Mario occasionally, but it's like he doesn't get home from work and relax and play, you know, play those thumbs, you know?
Well, it's like with Japan, like comic books are one of the biggest things for adults in Japan. You know, it's like a majority of people who are in their 20s and up, when they go to work, when they're on lunch, they read comic books. That's what they do. That's their because they want to do something other than just like veg out during lunch. So they actually read these little short comic books.
Well, that's why mangas are so big up there.
Mangas are huge.
I pull out the DS. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're more of a video game culture, portable. Yeah. Even though those products come from there, those people are really into comic books.
This is just break time, downtime. Carried around with me.
Yeah, when I used to factory work, my PSP was with me like 24/7 because I use it as an MP3 player when I was on the line. So I had little stereos, you know, in my little packaging station. And then when I go out on lunch, I'd take it with me. I'd hop on the Wi-Fi or play like Wipeout. Yeah,
I think people are miscategorizing it in the Supreme Court because the medium that this is mostly reaching, I mean, kids are a big part of it. I know that FIFA soccer is really big. I know the Mario's really big.
Oh, but I mean,
and there's a lot of kid-oriented video games.
Yeah.
And some of these kids are playing some of these games they shouldn't be, but that's the fault of the parents. That's not up to the government at the point of a gun to decide.
Yeah.
Oh, and I mean, even GameStop, they wouldn't even let you in the store because they checked my ID like 3 or 4 times. Like, I think even when like I was standing in line, they just came by and said, have your IDs ready, and they check your ID before they'd even hand you the game, even if you, you know, had the receipt and everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you couldn't get the receipt without your ID either. Like, they checked it like 3 times while I was there. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's not on them. If the parent goes and buys it for him, I mean, a parent can go buy a kid beer.
You can't really restrict that.
Yeah, because even with video games with a mature rating, it falls underneath the distributing harmful matter to children. You know, even CDs that have explicit lyrics or books that have explicit imagery, if it's something that's rated mature where you have to have an ID to buy it and you sell it, it's considered distributing harmful matter to children. Like the Dead Kennedys got busted because they had that Geiger picture in their Frankenchrist album, and Tipper Gore went, you know, dragged Jelly Biafra up and down, left and right, because of the harmful matter law. And it's the same thing with these
all
video games.
All she did is brought Dead Kennedys into the mainstream.
Oh, yeah, she brought Dead Kennedys. He was on Oprah. He was in the courts. He was everywhere.
Half-baked, but...
Yeah, made his future endeavors with Tentacle Records go up the roof, you know? But it's one of those things, though, where it's I can see where somebody is selling a game like Saboteur, which has a lot of explicit language, some pretty, you know, violent stuff. Oh, well, yeah, there's the VIP code. If you don't have the VIP code when you play it, everybody's clothed. But if you put in the VIP code, everybody's naked. That's a topless dancer, and you can also get private dances from some of the girls. And they did that to try and restrict the gameplay. You know, if some people are okay with foul language with their kids, but they're not okay with digital tits, then, you know, they can draw the line there.
Even Red Dead had tits in it.
Yeah, that one, you know, that's a rock star.
Well, I don't remember any of the GTAs actually having
tits.
Yeah,
none of the GTAs, I don't think, actually.
No,
had.
But there's a scene where you walk in on a dude just banging a chick on a table and her tits
flopping
all over the place.
But it was just about as graphic as you could get without all the GTAs. They were still pretty graphic.
I mean, yeah.
Like, you pick up hookers on the side of the road.
Yeah, but...
Like, you park in an alley.
Yeah, but Rockstar likes to push that line every once in a while. And with Red Dead,
I really don't mind that they do, because it's a stab in the eye to the people that are fucking with this whole thing. And I think that it's really, really important, though, that this kind of stuff doesn't pass, because not only will it affect this, it'll affect other things as well. So, like, your music, your TV shows. It's really cool right now that I can watch AMC and see The Walking Dead.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, it's not uncensored, but, I mean, it's as graphic as any zombie movie.
It's got headshots. It's got some pretty good violence,
like
a lot of blood.
The guy with the hollowed-out head.
Yeah, and when they're chopping up the dude in the last episode with the axe. Oh, dude, they chop a guy up with an axe. Oh, it's
pretty brutal.
It's got a couple. Like, they pulled what, like in the movie 30 Days a Night, they kind of pan away on a couple of hatchet scenes, but they saved the last one where he has to chop his friend's head off. They made that one as brutal as they could. That's about what they did with The Walking Dead. They actually show some of the axe hits into the gut, and you can hear it. They really emphasize the sounds of breaking bone and metal hitting the ground. And it's pretty cool.
Pretty
It's pretty grisly. It's pretty grisly. But there's a lot of violence in that series, and, I mean, you can't really have that type of a show without some kind of violence, you know.
Well, everybody knows you got to shoot zombies in the head. Man.
Yeah, it can't be Friends. You know, it can't be a sitcom. Can't be a sitcom based in the zombie
apocalypse.
That would
be kind of funny.
It would be funny, I think. But, you know, you'd have to have.
You should
a
play some Red Dead, because you can play some card. Or there's a guy playing cards with his zombie buddy.
Yeah, it was the Grave Digger.
Yeah,
but now I've always stood by the, like we talked about when we talked about this subject last time, was that, you know, you were talking about celebrities earlier, you know, who are coming forward on this VGVN, you know, in the Supreme Court with the video games being censored. There's a lot of celebrities that are coming forward saying, you know, this is wrong, you can't do this. And it's not just because they consider video games just like films, it's because they are avid video game players. And they enjoy, you know, these video games.
Well,
and
Mr. fucking Marvel, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And who else has come forward on the...
I'm trying to think. That's the most recent one that I keep hearing all this shit about.
I'm sure Matt Perry has come forward, because I'm sure Fallout is one of the series that's being...
Oh, he's pretty passionate about Fallout.
Yeah, but I'm sure that's one of the series that's being crucified for its foul language. And
Well, Fallout is one of the forerunners into foul language in video games. Fallout 1 came out in, like, 1997, I want to say. Or 96, maybe.
I think it was about then, yeah.
Anyways, that's
wasn't
the first time...
It was turnstile, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a turn-based RPG. Yeah. And there was a lot of fuck in that game. A lot more than you were used to hearing. Well, you'd never heard fuck in a video game until I played that. And I was like, you know, I was pretty young. So I was still approaching 20 at that point.
Yeah.
And but it was, at that point, you know, I was just like, whoa, I mean, there's actual language in a game. And I'd never been playing, like, Mario and stuff, you know. And it's Mario RPG was what I was playing when I first played Fallout. And so, I mean, that was a big change, you know.
Well, I remember the subtleties when it would be shit and crap. Yeah. And then, like, the next year, you play a video game, and they're saying, fuck, left and right. It's like, wow, we've come a long way.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the little loading screen in the new one. It says, fuck the NCR.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
You see that on the sign?
Yeah, I love that. I like all the loaded screens with some. Well, some of them are really long, but...
fight apathy or not.
Yeah, I like... fight apathy or not. You know, but I like a lot of the loading screens because they're just... They're humorous because a lot of them are just billboard signs for different casinos, and people have tagged them.
Yeah.
You know, with different things, and it's humorous, you know. It kind of gives you a little bit of insight of what it's like to live in that world for the most part, what you would see. And to take away that right to use foul language, now they're trying to call it obscenity.
Right, and obscenity, like, for me, was always, like, full-on penetration porn, you know?
Well, you can consider you can consider which anything obscene.
I do have some love for, but, you know, I don't want, when I have
well,
kids,
private love.
A little one-handed love, but...
It's like, I don't listen to my porn with the windows open. I close them. I don't want to freak out the little kids.
I close the windows.
Yeah.
And the drapes.
Yeah.
And turn off the lights.
I soundproof my room. So, because I have like 10 mega speakers. I just want to hear
it. No, it's everywhere. That while I'm listening to Hallelujah. Yeah.
By Leonard Cohen, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I still laugh when I watch movies like Shrek. And it, which has the song Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen in it. I'm just like, man, that's just, I want to know the guy who came with the soundtrack choices for that. Because that's
He's
a song.
Just giggling.
That is a song about fucking. And they used it in Shrek. And they cut out a couple of the verses. Like, I remember the hour that I moved in you and the Holy Ghost she was moving to. And every breath we drew was Hallelujah. I was just like, that's a song about fucking and coming. And I knew that song before that movie came out. I was in the theater with my ex-girlfriend watching. I was like, oh, I know this song. I don't know who's covering it, but I know this song. And it's like, oh, shit. I wonder if they got that verse. And I'm just sitting there waiting. No, it never came up. And they call video games obscene. You know, some of these little minor things are like the nudity of Jessica Rabbit and Who Framed Roger Rabbit. The
little
frame.
Yeah, there's a little
snapshot. Yeah, you know, it's like, or Aladdin with the sex thing, and also if you turn the volume up really high whenever, and I've actually heard this one, when the genie is trying to tell Aladdin what to say to Jasmine, it's sad I know their names. Anyways, if you turn it up really high, you can hear the genie whisper, all good teenagers should have sex. I'm not shitting you, find an original copy.
Wasn't that voiced by,
It was, Robin Williams, yes. It was voiced by Robin Williams. And I don't know if it's him saying it, but there's that. Then there's the original cover for The Princess Bride. Not Princess Bride, I'm sorry, for The Little Mermaid that has a giant cock tower in the background. One of the underground underwater kingdoms, one of the ballasts is a fucking cock. It's little things like that. There's obscene sex and everything. And obscenity is everywhere.
That kind of brings you to like a Fight Club moment, you know.
Well,
they
a lot
have
of,
like the little cock that flashes in the
yeah,
theater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was a huge cock. That was
meaty.
I wanted sausage after that, so that's how it was. I was like, a Polish dog sounds really good, but
bologna.
Yeah, but the reason why a lot of Disney animators do that is because Disney's notorious for firing their animators the second the movie's done, so they cannot get any residuals off of the film. It all goes to Disney. So they hire contract animators, and they find that's why Pixar was such a big threat to Disney, because Pixar could produce a digitally animated movie in, like, you know, half the time that actually took them to animate one by hand, and it was done by an actual permanent staff who were educated computer animators. So to fire them on the turn of every movie would just be stupid. It'd be horribly dumb. And it was such a threat because they could pump out all these things. So Disney tried to be like, well, how about we put you on the front of all of our, because they originally were a studio of theirs and they separated off, if I remember. But it was a huge problem for Disney. But yeah, it's that question of what's obscene. And my opinion has always been, you can't stand outside of a porno theater and preach obscenities because people don't go in unless they buy a ticket when they want to see it. If you're standing on the corner having sex with a chick, that's obscene because nobody paid to see it. Nobody wanted to see it. Nobody had the option of not seeing it. Same with video games. Same with movies.
You're paying.
You are paying, and you know, that's why at the very beginning of every movie it says, or even TV shows, like you watch the first 48, it says some of these images are considered
graphic.
You know, graphic.
And in Call of Duty, even at the beginning of the last two, you have the option to skip mm-hmm. the graphic content.
Yeah, exactly.
And isn't that, I mean, that doesn't cover like blood and stuff. No. But I mean, like just the stuff that might be racy.
Yeah, it's like with the Silent Hill games too. You know, at the beginning of each of the Silent Hill games, like especially in part 3, I remember that one. I don't remember if it was in part 2. It probably was. It warns you that that the game has moments that are kind of unsettling for younger kids, and there's a lot of graphic nature stuff that should not be viewed by kids. And it's a warning. We warn those people. And on the very back of the fucking box, it says, rated M for mature, rated 18, crap like that.
17.
17, yeah. And it's one of those things where if they have a choice to watch it or not watch it, if they have a choice to buy it or not buy it, you should not be able to fuck with it in its entirety because... The 90s, I'm kind of jumping around. The 90s has a lot to blame with this because in the 90s there wasn't a whole lot of, like early 90s video games were starting to become a bigger thing. Getting a lot
we didn't really
games.
Get a lot of mature games until fairly recently.
Yeah, but we had these games slipping in every once in a while.
Well, Sega always had like a couple of mature games.
Yeah, so did Nintendo because they had Conker's Bad Fur Day, which had twat and cunt thrown in there constantly. You know?
I remember that.
Yeah, it had really bad. It had really obscene words thrown in, and a lot of very suggestive imagery thrown in quite a bit, and a lot of innuendo in a lot of the missions. Like where you got the big cog who wants the little cog to go on its wheel, it's on its little peg, and you put it on, and it keeps talking and talking. It goes, "I don't want to go back on this peg." Don't put it. And you put it on there, and it just starts mumbling because that's its mouth, you know. And the big cog's just like, "Oh yeah," it's like that feels good. Yeah, it's a lot of innuendo, and I love Conker's Bad Fur Day for Nintendo 64. It was just so funny, but there was a lot of things that slipped in under the radar, and then later on when they got found out, they were blasted upon, but there wasn't a whole lot of moderation on what was coming around. And you kind of got to look at the 90s. You got to say, okay, a lot of parents didn't know what they were buying their kids. Yeah, we didn't have that rating system. You get poked in the eye there?
I did get poked in the eye.
Nice.
My
but,
Andrew's contraption.
Yeah. His apparatus.
To all of you that know, so we can bash on Andrew a little bit.
Yeah.
Andrew has a problem with staying close enough to the mic.
He has a problem with
volume
control.
So we have a zip tie tied to the mic at a specific length to keep him within range.
It's a leash.
It is a leash for Andrew.
It keeps poking me in the eye because I have to be closer to it because I mumble and whisper.
So basically you keep getting poked in the eye by Andrew's apparatus.
I do. It's actually unpleasant.
Just as pointy, though. But no, as the 90s, a lot of things slipped in. There's not as much moderation until later on in the 90s. We start throwing up huge fits about certain things, you know. But a lot of stuff slipped in under the radar. And a lot of parents were finding out, oh my god, you know, like the original Grand Theft Auto and one of my favorite games that I found out some people had a real problem with was Rise of the Dragon, which was just...
Remember Onimishu?
Yeah, I remember Onimishu, yeah.
Man, there was a lot of fucking graphic stuff in there. And then there was it Kroll, not Kroll, Mark of Kree.
Yeah, Mark of Kree, or Kree, yeah. Yeah.
That had a lot of
violent takedowns.
Yeah,
you just grab a guy around the corner and slam him. I remember Mortal Kombat was the big one that was getting trashed on.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat was probably the one that got trashed on the most for violence.
But it was such a huge video game. That's why all these other ones were so small and minuscule. No, like Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Wasn't that Midway that did that?
I think it might have been. Yeah.
Just remember the original Manhunt?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That,
yeah.
Game,
that one got
that,
bashed
that game,
on.
That game was graphic, like plastic bags.
Yeah, their plastic bag kill or the little shank you made out of the piece of glass.
Yeah, you can just like pick up a piece of glass and go like decide how brutally you want to murder somebody when you walk up behind them.
That game is banned from,
Australia?
Yeah, Australia. And that's where we're going to end up turning into if this shit goes through.
They had to make a different version of Left 4 Dead just for Australia.
Yeah, just for Australia. And that's what's going to happen with us is we're going to start basically developers that are not from this country are going to start, you know, basically either skipping us because they don't want to take the time to, they don't consider the market.
Themselves.
Yeah, they don't consider the market here big enough to put out a censored version of the game. Or they're just going to skip us. Yeah. Or they're going to put out a censored version. It's just not going to be as fun. And you're going to get a lot of people buying modded stuff for their Xboxes and their PS3s and whatever new consoles come out just so they can buy different region video games.
Or we'll just go back to the modding community and then we'll play a lot more PC games.
PC. And the PC industry will be happy.
Yeah.
Because people will be upgrading their
mods.
Yeah. They'll start, you know. people start upgrading their PCs again just to play games, which kind of sucks because, you know, it'll be the death of the console for the U.S. if it happens. That's the problem.
At least among the adult market. I think people like the Wii would still be
Yeah. They'd lose stuff like Dead Space.
But, I mean, a lot of people that play like PS3 and Xbox 360, for the most part, are, I mean...
play it for the mature games.
Yeah, we do. Now, I heard something really interesting about mature games being a smaller part of the market, honestly, though, when it comes to the overall market for video games. But I still think that there's enough, like you talk about, we just... there's less mature games released, I think, is part of the deal. But, like, a lot of these, like, kiddie games, they sell, like, 50,000 or 100,000 copies, but they're just, like, churned out.
Yeah,
you know?
they put them out, like, once a week.
The mature games, when they come out, people are excited about it.
For single-unit sales, though, like, a lot of the mature games, I think, outsell anything, any single game except for Mario or FIFA Soccer, because FIFA Soccer always sells, like, 8 billion copies every time. Like, everybody on the planet has two copies, you know, except for me.
Yeah, I never play FIFA.
Well, I mean, soccer's a big thing. But, like, seriously, like, FIFA Soccer's been, like, one of the number one selling games, like, every time it comes out.
Yeah.
And the same for Mario. I mean, but, you know, there's a lot of people get high and play Mario. So, I mean, you got to give it to them.
I like Mario. I still play Mario. I still play Super Mario.
Well, you got
the original.
You've got a fucking Nintendo tattooed on you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's actually pretty. Actually a pretty kick-ass tattoo. So.
I want to see the new Excite Bike.
No, oh, yeah.
Pretty rad.
So, anyways, moving on a little bit.
Well, you had something about...
I have some other things, and there was one bit of news that I was going to get to since Matt's here.
Okay.
And this month is No Shave November.
Yeah, oh, God.
Exactly. So
I shaved yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, Matt's been bringing this up at the bar a lot, so
I
put a post up about it.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Everybody should do it, including girls.
Yeah? What? Yeah. Are girls not going to shave? They're not going to shave their beard?
Armpits,
their pits.
Legs.
Really?
Yeah, just stay away from girls for the next month.
Okay,
I used to date a girl who did the No Shave November thing on her legs, and it was disturbing.
Fantastic.
No, it was disturbing.
So. Your hair is intermingled.
Makes her feel much more rugged.
Well, I'm sitting there lying in bed at night. I just keep getting stabbed in the leg by little stubble hairs.
You go with, like, cuts on your leg. Sandpaper cuts. Like.
Yeah.
It's like your grandpa's face.
I did not want to relate that with that. So. That's horrible.
I actually have a girl at work that pets my beard every day. She's like, your beard's so soft.
And you're still single?
I'm just picky. But no, yeah, it's No Shave November. Submit your picks. I expect a pick from you, Matt.
I'll submit.
Towards the end of November.
I'm going to wait. I think
I had about a week head start, so I got a pretty manly beard.
I think
going
you
on.
Just want women to submit their hairy leg pics. I think that's what this is all about.
They can too.
Yeah,
but
can I know. Really, but I think you're going to print them out and put them up on your wall. I think that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, I'll be all over that. This only happens once a year.
I know, it's
like the...
So this is like a delicacy.
Yes, it is.
It's like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
So you guys have never been down to the Mediterranean at all, where all the women just don't shave?
I had a crazy dream about this.
You did?
I posted it on my Facebook only to people that could see it.
Yeah, I saw that.
I do a lot of photos and stuff. I haven't for a while, but...
They had the hairy
leg. I used to do stuff for the Urban Tulsa here in town, and... A bunch of band photos. I did your band over and over again.
Both my bands, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and I had a dream that I went into this photo shoot and I was taking pictures of where women and their hairy bodies, and there was a woman there that had a happy trail.
I think you called them werewolves, didn't you?
Yeah, kind of like werewolves. It's like she had a happy trail that ended in widow's peak.
Yeah, that was the funny part. That's the funny part. Because I actually referred to that the other week.
That got stuck in my head, so yeah. I went to sleep. Yeah. That's like I dreamed of a woman with a widow's peak.
Yeah, I said my pubic hair has a widow's peak.
Yeah,
that's where it came from.
Her vagina wasn't shaved. It was just... I mean, her vagina was shaved, but everything else was not, and she had a hairy stomach. It was weird.
So she had a Dorito that went out to, like, a full Hasselhoff. Yeah.
She had a Hasselhoff. It was really disturbing.
Because, like, if the girl shaves into a pyramid, it's called a Dorito, and if it's a strip, it's a Frito.
I thought it was a Hitler.
No, actually, I've heard it called a landing strip. I like the chip approach. There's a Dorito, because that's edible. There's a Dorito and the Frito. I still have yet to see a Pringle. I thought that was funny.
I'm trying to think of how that works.
Just a big circle. it's like a Dr. Manhattan logo, but with their pubic hair, you know, with their pubic hair.
Looks like a goatee.
Like Maynard G. Krebs. Gilligan. Anyway.
Anyways. Yeah, No Shave November. Submit your picks. I'm going to put up a new pick on the website.
with the beard.
You can trim.
See, that's why I didn't shave.
I don't want a neck beard.
You can trim the neck beard and the wolf beard up on
the stuff that gets up to your eyes. Yeah. I always trim that.
You're a freak. No, just kidding. No. I get it up here actually because I can have like a full like Rasputin.
it's just like your eyes are peeking up above your beard.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I can have a crazy clampet beard if I really wanted one. It's just my beard will get about an inch long, and then it just wants to stay that long, and then I have to train it.
It just gets
grow
more curly
out.
And thick.
Yeah, it becomes a Rasputin.
And actually, I condition it.
I moisturize it.
I do moisturize it. I got to keep those hairs healthy.
I put the lotion on it. So.
Well, it's funny because I go in and here's a funny thing that a bunch of people are going to hear now. So when I get my hair cut, I always
welcome
get,
to
like,
the Haircast.
No.
This is Beardcast, where we talk about beard needs and essentials.
Yes, it's a manly cast, except what I'm about to go into isn't that manly.
Sponsored by Ice Road Truckers and Swamp Loggers. So anyways.
So like I go and I get like my hair cut and everything, and I always get my hair washed, you know. And then I take it a step further. I pay an extra $8 to get a facial massage on top of it.
Are you still getting it from that one chick?
I always say there's two different chicks I go to. They're both pretty hot. But they also like wash my beard. And it's super, super...
Like beard massage.
Yeah, I get a beard massage.
I just feel that so close to slavery. I don't do it. Even though I'm paying them $8, I just feel bad making them touch me.
They like touching me. They always remember me. They're like, so we're going to do the
facial like, oh yeah, there's that creep.
Well, they put conditioner into my beard and massage it.
Do they brush it too?
Do they wear gloves while they do this?
No.
Oh, they go gloveless, huh?
They like touching the beard.
That's unprotected beard sex.
It is.
That's what it is.
If you touch the beard for luck. Apparently a pretty decent tip.
Yeah,
so.
fuck Buddha. fuck Buddha bellies. It's all about the beard.
It's all about the beard.
The Paul Bunyan.
Well, at least for November it is.
Yeah. For November it's all about the beard. Remember November.
I'm going to send you a picture of my unshaven crotch. That's what I'm going to send you for your website.
I don't want to see your Abe Lincoln.
Yeah. I can still do the stovetop. Anyways, go on with your news, Harry.
So anyways, going on to other things. apparently in England, if inmates have good behavior, they're allowed to play video games.
Yeah.
So apparently 36,000 inmates in England are playing video games. And there's a big uproar about it. So, because they're like, well, people go to prison for punishment, but there's people in there playing video games.
Do they disable the multiplayer?
And I don't know. You're playing Call of Duty, and it's with a guy that's doing life.
Like some 12-year-old going like, so where are you? Yeah.
I'm in prison.
It's like AFL? He's like 32, male. San Quentin.
Well, apparently most of the money that's coming from it is from private donors, so it's not anything that's state-funded, but, I mean, I don't really have a take on it.
I want to know the private donors that are submitting
that
money.
That would be my favorite charity.
Is it Ted Turner? when
I was reading the news piece...
Captain Planet!
I got it on Kotaku, but they were talking about, I guess, that a lot of their family and friends were giving consoles to the prisons or whatever, so they have something to do. So a lot of it's privately funded. It's not anything the prison's paying for.
If you have a console in your cell, that's like prime real estate for you to get shanked. Number one, I think.
Dude, I would just keep
not
the cell locked.
Not in England.
I turn up some.
After 2 years of being in prison, I would kill a motherfucker for an IDS. I totally would for a fucking like a for a PSP. I don't care what it is. If it can play video games and Blu-rays, I would shank him for it.
For Kirby's Epic Yarn.
I wouldn't give a shit what game it is. It's just like when you're in prison, a man is a substitute. Just like Kirby, okay, you can't play some Resident Evil. Kirby, okay. I can't get that's vagina, so I'll take man vagina. Mangina.
Back pussy.
You know, if you close your eyes and you just put your lips together, it feels like the real thing. I actually heard that on an HBO documentary about prison life. This guy was just going on. He's like, sometimes like if you just close your eyes and just get your lips up in there, it even tastes like it. And you're just like, oh god,
been a while.
I was like, fuck me, dude. This guy's fucking crazy. Yeah, it's like, fuck me. No, we're not.
Anyways, you got some news, don't you?
Yeah, not like that. Oh, that's some horrible stuff, man. Actually, I do have a funny bit of news that has nothing to do with video gaming that I read, and I thought it was so funny, I just had to bring it up. And that is in Brazil. I read this a couple weeks ago. In Brazil, they actually are making prostitutes wear yellow reflective jackets. I love the look on your face. But yeah, they're actually making...
like hunting jackets?
Just like, you know, safety jackets, you know, with big reflectors on them. And I was like
crossing guards.
Yeah, like crossing guards.
There's
you
one.
Know?
There's one.
They're called cocking guards. But anyway, yeah, they've... What happened is that they outlawed prostitution within the city limits, but there's a turnaround highway where these women are just congregating on dozens of prostitutes wearing hunting reflective jackets in swarms. And they just go out there. And you can actually be fined for not wearing the damn jacket.
Wow.
Because they hold up traffic, they cause problems, and they're putting themselves and others at risk.
Just lay down in the middle of the road.
Yeah, just lay down in the middle of the road. And I thought that was funny, so I had to bring that one up. back to actual gaming news. Hulu Plus is finally added onto the PlayStation Network, and it's not just for people who have that PlayStation Network Plus, you know, the expensive ass freaking whatever. It's actually for everybody. Doesn't matter what your account status is, you will have access to Hulu Plus. And for those who don't know what Hulu is this wonderful network for watching TV shows streamed to your computer originally, but now off to PlayStation.
Well, you can get a certain amount for free a month, and then after that, you got to pay.
Yeah, yeah, but you can get new TV shows that are just out. I think there's a little bit of a wait period.
Like Pandora, except Pandora is probably way cheaper.
Yeah,
it's like 99 cents.
Yeah,
I don't even pay for Pandora.
Well, it's after you listen to like 40 hours of music, you have to pay like I forgot what it was. It was something like minuscule.
Yeah. No, it's nothing.
No, my
like
dad hooks it up to his iPhone, then plugs it in his truck, so he's always listening to Pandora.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's one of the news for PlayStation. So, as they got that, which Matt has a PlayStation, so I bet he's...
I'll be all over that.
Yeah. watching some Rescue Me.
Oh, no. I'll be watching some Glee.
Glee? I haven't even watched that. Is that any good? It's about a Glee club.
I got really into the first season, but after that, I just kind of fell off the bandwagon.
Off the Glee wagon.
Not the Glee
See,
wagon.
For me, there's like there's a few TV shows here and there I have to watch every week, and they're usually on this part of the season. That's like Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I have every episode, every season, and I watch it religiously. It's one of my favorite shows. I love Dan DeVito. I love Charlie Day. And Michael Henry and Sweet D. It's great, great cast, great show, a lot of humor. And I mean, Fred Savage was directing for a while, which is really weird.
Yeah. Done a pretty good job.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job. And the show's just hilarious. Like the Christmas episode where he jugular bites Santa Claus, I just laughed my fucking ass off. Did you fuck my mom, Santa Claus? Anyways, moving on. Assassin's Creed Ascendance is a new animated series. And
made by whom?
Ubi.
Ubi's making it?
Yeah, Ubi. I forgot what it was. UbiWorkshop.com is all that's known about it for the most part. You just go to UbiWorkshop.com. That's UBI. And they have a trailer up there where you can... it's not even that long. It's like 20 seconds. And it just shows Assassin doing a jump off a building, doing some climbing, just some really cool-looking shit. But it's a new animated series that's going to build around the Assassin's Creed. And it was, I remember, titled originally, I think it's File Number 3 was the original name when they were working on it. Now they finally released the name as Ascendance. And it looks like it could be really, really freaking cool. So I'm definitely... interesting because I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan.
It
so are
be
you?
Released on network TV or
they have
DVD.
Not. They have not said anything.
Nothing yet.
Yeah, nothing at all. It's just a little ghost thing going around. And you're a huge Assassin's Creed fan, just as I, especially after the last one with the whole intro of the Adam and Eve and the apple and just all the really insane
well,
stuff they brought
going
about.
Into the whole sci-fi, basically the Illuminati thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. For me, and the Illuminati is cool and all, but the apple was the huge thing for me that kind of won me over for the new one. With the unlockable cinematic, once you get all the different pieces, you can unlock that cinematic of Adam and Eve in this futuristic city stealing an apple, which is a mind control device, and it kind of tells you there's a lot more to history than what is known, because the game takes place in basically our history line, and in our universe line, it's just a few years I think ahead, and. Because they bring up, like, when you're going through the different puzzles, there's pictures of World War II, pictures of World War I, pictures of presidents, the White House, stuff
Rasputin.
Like that. Rasputin, and it all ties into our universe. But then they go into this thing where there's a much more advanced civilization before any of us and all that. And it's kind of the beginning of mankind as we knew it. So it's a really cool series. Got a lot more intense with the new one. I actually, really funny thing from Spain, not from Spain, I'm sorry, from Brazil, was, was it Spain or was it Brazil? No, it was Spain, actually. So not only are they making prostitutes wear the reflective vest, but they've also opened up a new street that was Avenida de Super Mario Brothers. Which, for those of you who don't speak Spanish, that's Avenue of Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, they, I kind of got that.
Yeah, they actually... They actually named a fucking street. Yeah, they actually named a fucking street after Super Mario Brothers, and they had a guy out there in full Super Mario outfit with a big bobblehead Super Mario thing on his head for the grand unveiling, which I think was actually just this last weekend. So,
I have a really good friend that lives in Spain. I know, ask her about it.
Yeah, ask her about it. I don't know how to pronounce the place where it's at, so. It's actually, I do know how to pronounce that part. It's Zaragoza, northeast Spain. But there's actually a name for the city. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm going to try. Big news, though, on Star Wars, though. Not for Force Unleashed, but next year, around this time, Kinect is going to have a Star Wars video game released.
Yeah, I heard about that, but you're going to have to do more than fucking wave your arms around for it to be cool.
Yeah, they're actually talking about trying to bring in the lightsaber battles where it is just your hand, so you're actually... doing the lightsaber battles just your hand and implementing some other things in with the controller. So I'm interested. Plus, there's more stuff they could bring out for Kinect between now and then.
I would take your lightsaber off the mantle.
I know you would. Yes, yeah, I have a lightsaber on my mantle. So.
I'd just be playing with that.
I fixed that thing. I have a lot of pride. It was broken. I fixed it, and I got it that way. But... I felt really cool taking apart a lightsaber and fixing
it. Did you find the crystals?
Yes. No, but no, it's an Obi-Wan replica too. So, but yeah, enough geeking. Anyways, but yeah, I know we still have a whole another year, so who knows what kind of peripherals they already have planned, maybe to bring out.
Like a lightsaber?
For Kinect. They could possibly. You never know.
Yeah, that'd be,
Kinect,
that,
never know.
That would be the responsible thing to do.
Yes.
It would be.
Yes. Take. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say we'd have more broken TVs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Broken windows.
Take what we did with their controller and make an actual fingers, where all four of your fingers, as you're wrapping around it, place onto buttons that you can push to do different things, like force powers. But then there's a question, how do you move around? How do you walk?
Well, remember we were watching that demo at E3?
Yeah, and that was like for Wii, I think.
No, that was on Kinect.
That was that for Kinect?
Yeah, because they were moving in
sections. Okay, yeah, that is. Yeah, it's the one where you actually don't even move. It's like a rail shooter almost, where you zoom up to the next spot, and you stop, and then you fight the people, then you zoom up to the next spot, okay. And I was kind of like,
I wonder if the Star Wars could be good at this game.
The Star Wars game?
Yeah.
Maybe. Put some Paul Oakenfold on and see what he can do. let's see. Target has announced their big Black Friday sales. They're going to be coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody's going to be doing it. You're going to have Walmart with their Black Friday sales. GameStop's going to definitely probably have some. But right now, the Target sales, one of the big things for me is I hate buying peripherals, which are controllers, for those of you out there who don't know. Because controllers nowadays, I remember back when they used to be like $20 for like a PlayStation 2 controller. Now they're like $50.
Yeah, $50.
Yeah. Such...
Yeah, that's why I only have one.
Yeah. Such overpriced bullshit. I hate it. And right now, the big sale, they're going to be $39.
That's pretty good. I had a controller I didn't really use that much, and I dedicated that to be the new Call of Duty controller.
Oh, yeah.
No play in it yet.
Well, it's just, I hate spending $50 on a brand new controller. And some of them look cool. They have some cool design ones, the little personal design ones. But just $50 for a wireless controller just was...
Like the Tron one.
The Tron one I'm actually buying, so...
I'll have to go buy some Tron action figures. Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah. Those
look awesome.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They have actually the new Mass Effect figures came out, too. Series 1. Legion's going to be in the new series. It's going to come out next year, and I'm definitely buying that one because I love Legion for Mass Effect 2. He's badass. So...
Here we go, adults and almost 30. We're buying action
figures. I have a lot of action figures. So they're doing a 4 gig Xbox you can get it. That's not a whole lot. Yeah, that's
really
not a whole
lot.
That's
tiny.
Yeah, because when you look at games, you have to install a hard drive as well as updates and stuff. It eats away really fast, but you get a $50 card with that one, and that's only for $200. So you could take that $50 card and buy a new hard drive, one of the bigger ones, and those are only... Yeah, but those bigger hard drives are only like $100, I said, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you can go get just a USB hard drive that's, you know, twice as big for half the price.
Yeah, or you can even go out and you can go and buy the bigger hard drives used from a lot of gaming stores. They get extra ones, so you can actually get some of the bigger ones.
I don't think you can do that with the new 360. They have a special drive.
But I'm not sure. They haven't said if this
is... Kinect 360?
I think this is the new all-black 360 to work with Kinect. Yeah,
That's going to be the new design one.
Yeah.
My brother has one of those. It's actually super quiet.
Yeah, I actually thought it looked really cool. I was debating on getting a new one.
Looks like it was made by Bang & Olufsen.
Yeah. With... PlayStation has a better deal, though, with theirs, because you can get the 160-gig PlayStation, and that's going to come with Force Unleashed 2 and, unfortunately, Prince of Persia Blu-ray.
Awesome.
But that's for $300. That's not a bad deal, because you can always pawn off Prince of Persia to somebody, re-gift it to somebody else.
I'm weighing my options right now.
Yeah, I'm actually debating on that one, but yeah. But re-gift Prince of Persia.
I know I'm getting a bonus.
Yeah. You should buy me a new PlayStation for Christmas.
Bullshit.
I got you a Goldie's card last year. So you could buy it.
Goldie's is delicious.
Yeah, I know.
Is delicious, but it's not a PlayStation.
Yeah. I got like a 20. He had a lot of happy moments spending that $25 gift card. Anyways, PlayStation Portable 300 is going to come with a 1-gig stick. It's also going to come with Little Big Planet and a UND of the Karate Kid.
The new Karate Kid with Will Smith's son?
Yeah. I think that's like $120, maybe, something like that,
you know,
or $160.
What's funny is, like, they already made a remake of Karate Kid.
I know.
I was just sitting there going, I was like, I saw it when I was a kid.
I'm not that fucking old. I wasn't even bitching as Jackie Chan. I was just bitching because, like, what the fuck? Elizabeth Shue was in the original Karate Kid, and she's still around.
She's still kind of hot.
Yeah, she still actually is hot. So, anyways, let's see. I read a new article that was actually on Yahoo News, naming off some of the worst games of 2010.
Really? What's on this?
To narrow it down a little bit, this was not on the list, but a lot of people who commented on it brought up StarCraft II.
Worst game?
Bitching, saying that should be on the list with StarCraft II.
Fuck them up, the asshole.
I thought you would hate
that. What's wrong with it? It's like almost exactly the same.
I think that's what people were bitching about. They were like, 10 years and this is all we get?
I mean, it's like a sport. You can't change it too much.
I know, but they were talking about it. Remember when we were looking at previous long time and they had that flying, almost like they were going to bring in that flying simulator into it? I still haven't played it, so
like
I don't know if they
sort
finally
of like
did.
First-person thing?
No, it was like a third-person from behind flying sequence where it was actual gameplay, and that ended up not being in it. And I think a lot of people were hyped and then pissed off that wasn't in there. I just think they couldn't find a way to bring it in, but there's also going to be a lot of download stuff.
You played StarCraft, didn't you?
Yeah, I played StarCraft for a little bit. I mean, it's really like not... it'd be kind of hard to incorporate into gameplay.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because you're not watching everything, and you're not building, and you're not...
I'm not a competitive player that has 160 keystrokes per minute kind of guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But I am definitely one of those guys that played that and was like, this is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah,
it's a great game.
It's probably going to... It'll make my top 10 this year.
Yeah, I've watched... I mean, I haven't played it yet, you know. I played StarCraft. I played StarCraft, the original, and I played the extra stuff for it, and I loved it. You know, it was Blizzard. It was Diablo time. You know, it was just that's all I was into.
Extremely polished game.
Oh yeah, and I've watched a lot of the YouTube stuff for it. I mean, like for instance, in I think it's Japan. They actually have televised.
Is it Korea?
Yeah, they have televised multiplayer matches on.
Yeah,
because
debating
it's a huge
on
game
because they had the StarCraft channel on our network free for a little while.
Oh really?
Keep debating on getting it again because I watched a few Star Trek. It's like watching Ninja Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got all the commentators and then you can see like, you know, like you just kind of have to guess what's going on.
He's like, he's mining.
They're so enthusiastic.
Building his fourth earth.
They're so enthusiastic.
No, he's devastated.
It's really incredible to watch.
Yeah. And they have, like,
you're watching their keystrokes like.
they actually show their hands.
No, they actually do. They're like just, I can't even imagine how many keys they hit them in it.
It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, I love how, like, in China, like, World of Warcraft is one of the biggest things, and, like, yeah, they actually have it on like library computers, and I remember they were having you and I were talking about this a long time ago. They're having a huge problem with World of Warcraft. People just delving so much of their time into because it was so addictive. And they showed this like line of computer terminals at the library, and everybody in that line, I think only one of them was actually there studying. Everybody else was just sitting there playing World of Warcraft. And I was like, fuck me, dude, that's pretty funny. Yeah, it's like you go to the library here, if you try and install World of Warcraft on a library here, they'll kick you out. So, and the computers probably couldn't even run it. So they must have some really nice computers
kind of
out there.
The
Yeah. No, I like on the Guild. Whenever Felicia Day's computer breaks down, Blaze comes over and he's repairing her computer. She's like, where'd you get all these parts? He goes, I got a library computer. It's kind of like my one-stop shop. So, but yeah, you don't want to do that here. You'll get nothing but shit parts. Off on to the worst games, though. Dead Space Ignition.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I had to agree with that. Really poorly animated. Story was really hokey, not very well put in. Final Fantasy XIV Online.
I still didn't even touch that.
No, I didn't bother playing it. I watched a whole bunch of stuff. I talked to some people who played it. They totally agree that that should be on there. So I do. I'll take their word on it because Final Fantasy lost me after Part 10 when they brought out Final Fantasy Online.
Totally bad.
Yeah, I have that other one. 13. Was that the one that I borrowed from Jess?
That was 13.
That was 13. I have that one. I haven't started playing it yet.
That should be on my list.
Yeah, nice. Iron Man 2.
I would pick up a game made after a movie.
Yeah,
part.
Yeah.
Tron will be an exception if it's good.
I've pre-ordered Tron. It's going to be here next month. Fuck yeah.
Oh, really? It comes out next month?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, December 7th. It will be here at my house. And I've watched the multiplayer for it. They have pretty expansive multiplayer fights. It looked like there's about 8 or 9 people in there beating the crap out of each other. But everything you do looks like a ballet move. That was the weird thing. Because you'll have people doing, like, pirouettes with their freaking Tron discus and spinning around in place. And I was like, this looks like a really brutal rendition of Swan Lake. It's kind of what it looks like with people de-rezzing everywhere. And I was like, wow. So it's going to be like Halo ballet, basically. But I'm still psyched about the game because the Tron Cycles looks fucking amazing, and they're bringing back
the real Tron Cycle.
Yeah, I know.
I'd
you
drive
do
that to work.
Yeah, I know you would.
I would drive that to work.
Yeah. Would your light cycle trail be considered pollutant, though? Because you're kind of leaving a trail out behind you that people can crash into.
Well, I mean, I'd only drive at night.
I would, too. I'd just be like,
with your sunglasses on.
Yeah. I'd set up a camera just to see the trail.
Oh, that's okay. Anyways, but yeah, I'm totally looking for it because they're bringing back light tanks, nice. which in the original movie, that was what Clue was driving at the very beginning. It's also what chased Jeff Bridges' character and Tron and the other guy whenever they escaped the grid. And they actually had some Macintosh games back in the day that were kind of based off Tron.
Pretty awful games.
Yeah, pretty awful games. And tanks is one of them. And the tank stuff on this one looks pretty cool because you're doing tanks versus other tanks as well as defenders. Recognizers. I'm sorry. And so recognizers are coming out, and they can do stuff like cut the highway in half like they do in the original movie. So the tank falls down. They can drop bombs, all kinds of stuff. It looks pretty cool. And as you upgrade your memory allotted value. So it's like I saw somebody upgrade on one of the trailer things for it, and it said level up blah blah blah, 2 megabytes of memory was added. So I think it's going to be a little bit like the original Tron game that came out for PC, Tron 2.0, where you could advance your tool wheel, so you could have more room to add in more applications and stuff to let you do different tricks. So it definitely looks pretty badass, though. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Alan Wake was on that list of 2010 flops.
Maybe financially, but it was a good game.
Yeah, financially. It took 5 years to make. And
I thought that Alpha Protocol would have made it onto that list before that. But Alpha Protocol actually
that was a sleeper hit, yeah.
It actually proved to me to be a pretty fun game.
Mm-hmm. These
because
were games,
of its bugs.
Well, these were games that mainly got blasted on because of ratings. That's what this is, and this list had really nothing to do. It had a little bit to do with the gameplay, because Final Fantasy 14 online had some really broken mechanics, really bad gameplay.
I wonder if the guy that did this ever played any of these fucking games.
No idea, probably not.
I could agree with Iron Man, but maybe Alan fucking Wake.
It's kind of like with IGN. I can blast on them. You kind of question sometimes if they actually took the time to actually give it a fair review. Alan Wake, though, I mean, 5 years to make, you can see it in every detail when you're playing it. Yeah. You know, the textures, the actual world environment you run around in is so well done.
When the end of the year comes up, I think that needs to be on our top 10.
No, yeah. Probably. I would probably give it that because
I think we all need to pick two games and then agree on two.
Yeah. And my, my last bit of news, which I think you'll like because I talked about this a little bit, was something that's coming out was the Undead Nightmare Red Dead Redemption. Yeah, we had talked about that.
Yeah.
We had noticed that there was going to be a an actual release of that on the 24th of this month. And I found out what it is. It is what I thought it was going to be. It's going to be all the DLCs plus Undead Nightmare. But here's the cool thing. You don't need Red Dead Redemption to play it. It's standalone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty decently long game.
Yeah. Well, all these DLCs have a lot of gameplay and replay value, but that's the cool thing
about
is that
4 hours into it right now with no end in sight.
Yeah, well, this is one of those firsts for a game of that. Well, nowadays, for the most part, where you're getting a game that you're getting all the DLCs based on a disc where you don't need the original one to play it. You can play this all by themselves and have access to the multiplayer network, have access to all that stuff without actually having to spend the extra $60 to buy the game new or 30 used, but you can get all these DLCs and play them for $30 on a disc. And I thought that was actually pretty cool. That's actually pretty cool, the developers.
That's probably for people that don't want to actually go out there, don't have a way to get it from online.
Yeah.
They can just go out and buy it. I mean, it's really actually a good idea.
Yeah. I also think it's kind of a way to entice people to actually go out and buy the game as well, because here's the DLC and look how much you're getting for this.
Yeah.
Imagine how much the game, how much fun you'll have with that.
Yeah.
So I was pretty excited about that stuff. And that's it for the news. And I guess that we are going to go into new releases. All right, even though Tuesday is come and gone and all the major releases have kind of come out, such as Call of Duty, and a couple others that we had come out this week, such as the Sly Collection, DC Universe Online, which I totally overlooked and
I can't believe we missed that. I know Andrew was super hyped about this.
I was super hyped, but I don't have a PlayStation. Yeah, that's the thing. And DC Universe, you have a PlayStation, man. Have you looked at it at all?
I haven't really looked into it at all.
Oh, have you seen the previews for it or anything?
No, I haven't.
It is phenomenal.
Yeah, Andrew was sitting there going, I'm going to get this release day.
Yeah. I watched it while intoxicated, and it was just totally blown away.
I'm going to go see him later. I guess we're going to have to tell him it came out.
Yeah. as for releases that are still coming out, today we actually had The Undergarden come out for Xbox Live, and I have heard a little bit. I still haven't had a chance to get an impression on that one quite yet. So, have you heard anything about that?
I completely overlooked it because I was looking at news this morning.
Well, Xbox had another one come out on their live, which was Fairy, Legends of Avalon.
I might have skipped that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Andrew is a man who will not, probably. Xbox Live also had another one come out, which was Guwange. I'm still not sure how to pronounce it. And Xbox put out a lot of stuff this week. Yeah, three games. Yeah,
usually of a higher caliber.
Yeah. Well, this one is it's a shooter, which it's supposed to be Asian inspired and stuff, and it's got a lot of those elements that you would expect from like older Asian games. Like it's got all the big kanji writing and the huge trees and all that. So
very samurai.
So, which I love that stuff.
Some big samurai showdown.
Have you seen the Warrior Way previews or? It's I'll show that to you later
like the
on.
Fist Way?
Oh no! Oh, that was a great movie though. I do love that movie. But anyways, new releases are going to be coming out this next week. We got some great stuff. Starting off with not so great, in my opinion, is Dance Dance Revolution coming out for PlayStation 3. Are you excited, Matt?
Not at all, no.
Okay. Hey, they had that dance game for...
not very active.
For Kinect.
Dance Central.
And I was watching... I was looking at TVGP, and they have a video of all of them dancing to that. That's some pretty hilarious stuff. You got to watch it at tvgp.tv.com.
Well, actually, I watched a video of somebody playing Kinect and with a little kid, and they backhanded the kid right across the back of the head without even noticing, and they're like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And that was funny for me. For PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, we're going to have Apache Air Assault.
Ooh.
Yes. I'll wait till the sequel. For the DS, we're going to have Naruto Shippuden, which I always pause between that. And this is Naruto versus Sasuke.
All right.
All right. That's wonderful. On that same chapter, we're going to have a Wii release, which is Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Blades Chronicles. So two Naruto releases in the same week on the same day.
Isn't that
the
anime series?
Naruto, I do believe so, yeah. It's not one that I've ever watched, though.
I actually know a couple people that are into it.
I'm into a little bit more otter stuff. Pac-Man Party is going to be out for Wii as well.
I'm a little bit interested about that, to be honest.
Yeah, well, all of those games I just mentioned are going to be coming out on the 16th. Pac-Man, I'm a big Pac-Man fan from the day. Yeah, Mrs. Pac-Man, Pac-Man, Pac-Man 2. Always fun.
Well, I mean, when we were growing up, Pac-Man was pretty much already out, but...
Oh, yeah.
I think growing up for me, it was always Miss Pac-Man because that was more...
Fuck-Man?
Yeah.
It's people will scrape the pee and make it into, into an app.
No, I just... That was the one that actually was new when I was growing up.
Yeah. For Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Wii, we're going to have EA Sports Active, and that's going to probably... that's going to be a Kinect,
yeah,
as well like as a Move, and, yeah.
Some movement-based game.
Well, PlayStation Move and Xbox Kinect. We're going to have Split Second coming out for PSP. Now, Split Second's actually been released on consoles. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, TVGP talks a lot about it. They're really big into it, but they said there were some map packs that came out for it.
Yeah, I heard it is actually a really ultimate racing game. So, really I heard it's epic. Really fun. Something Matt's really looking forward to for the Wii, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360 is Man vs. Wild.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Bet you are.
Yeah, very, very bear-inspired.
It's going to be rugged.
Very bear-inspired. So are you going to... So do they have like a tutorial on how to eat grasshoppers or something like that?
I don't know, what? But it is No Shave November, so...
Yeah, you never
it's
know.
It's a good time for Man vs. Wild, the video game.
Well, yeah. He doesn't have a beard, so...
I'm already pretty rugged.
Yeah. A game that a few people I know... are looking forward to, which is coming out for Mac, PlayStation 3, Wii, PC, and 360, all bases covered here, is Create. Now, I've seen some of the stuff for this, and you can create your own little landscapes with it, and some of the stuff I've seen, like, they had a skateboard set up on a hillside, and they basically caused all these triggers to go down, go through, and all that, and it's
all different kinds of stuff.
Yeah, kind of like Mousetrap. There's actually, I forgot the man's name, and they do a convention every year for him. You remember the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yes.
Do you remember how he makes breakfast in the morning?
Rube Goldberg machines?
Yeah, is that what they're called? Rube Goldberg. Yeah, Rube Goldberg machines. And they actually have an event every year to see who can make the most exaggerative and just really...
Crazy,
machines to do a simple thing, like turn on a light, start a lighter... You know, pour cereal. And that's basically what a lot of I've seen from this game is just making these things, you know, in a virtual setting, which is kind of nice because a lot of times you don't have access to an ice skate, and you really need an ice skate to cut the rope. So you can just make one. Or hands just turn the wheel because they all died a very sad and disturbing way. So
heart attacks.
Yeah, heart attacks. I'd hate to know what they saw before they died. Anyways, Create, and that game's coming out November 16th. Another game that I think Andrew, I think, is actually looking forward to this one. Yeah. This one's coming out for DS, PSP, PS3, and Wii. Yeah, anyway, it's Michael Jackson, The Experience.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be out on that one.
Yeah, I'd hate to know what you experience playing.
Is this rated E for everyone, especially little kids?
Yeah, from the looks of it, I mean, it's like they've implemented a lot of stuff into it. A lot of dancing, basically, is what it is. It's a dancing game. Yeah, I know it comes with a glove. Yeah, the glitter glove, which I'm man enough to admit, when I was six years old, I had a glitter glove, and I even had the red jacket from Bad. Okay. But this is back in, like, the early 80s. Okay?
So when I was 5 years old, I had a jean jacket with, like, rhinestones glued on it.
I wasn't like the dude from The Wedding Singer, okay? Like, just wearing that shit in my fucking 30s, all right?
Said Justin on the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glitter.
That's true. For Xbox 360, PSP, PS3, Wii, and PC, we have Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Now, that's a racing game, of course. Need for Speed's been around for quite a while.
Yeah, if
I remember. Yeah, they've been around for a while. And
of course, it looks fairly incredible, to be honest.
Yeah, the graphics do look pretty intense, and there's cop cars that you can destroy. For Wii and DS, we're going to have Sonic Colors. Now, I have not actually, you know, because I don't do Wii and I don't have a DS, and this looks like a very 3D-based Sonic the Hedgehog game, which is nothing new. They've been doing that with the newer ones.
It's Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Sega.
Well, that was Dreamcast, yeah.
Well, the Genesis, though.
Sega CD.
Yeah. Well, with the Sega, though, back then, the Sonic games originally were the side-scrollers. Then when they came out with Sonic Hedgehog 2, they had the ones that were from behind as he's running through the tunnels, which were actually pretty fun. But now they're bringing in these more twisted maps where the camera swivels around. You have more actual real environment type feel and all that. And, you know, and it seems like Sonic Colors is based largely on that. I'm really not sure what to expect from it. It looks like it has a medley of different play modes other than just the third-person runaround. Looks like there's overhead as well as side-scroll. So,
to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind playing it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it because I am a Sonic fan from back in the day. I used to love playing Sonic the Hedgehog.
And that freaking music gets stuck
in there. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like when you're in the Egyptian temple labyrinth stuff with the water, that song would get stuck in my head for hours. For the PS3 and Xbox 360, stop staring at me. We have NBA Jam. Don't stick your tongue out when you do that. I'll jam in your mouth. Anyway, this one I'm...
And jam.
Yeah. Yeah, NBA Jam. I'm really not too big a fan of the series. I really don't know. I mean, I used to play a lot of basketball games and stuff, but one thing I've always experienced with all these sports games is nothing ever changes. It's always the same. Just different season, new players. You know? They need to start bringing... it's like with Final Fantasy, okay? With Final Fantasy X, they took a game like soccer, brought in Blitzball, or whatever it was called, with the water bubble and stuff. I'm not saying let's, you know, start playing football games in space, but I watch... the Super Bowl, okay? I know the little robots that they have on the commercials. Put out a fucking game like that, and I'll start buying your games. You know what I'm talking about, Justin?
No.
They have these commercials where they have like the android robots going out playing football. Heads explode. They do all kinds of funny things. And I think they actually did do a little tiny game thing like that once, but actually put out a full length game of that, and I'll actually play it.
I remember that baseball game with robots and Nintendo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember. That was old. And last but not least, the biggest one that's coming out, fuck the Harlequin, though. We're going to have Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
I'm just looking forward to multiplayer Assassins, man.
The cat and mouse game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where it's your chase. Have you heard about that, Matt?
No.
It's this new concept they brought in where you have a contract on one guy who has a contract on another guy who has a contract on you. So it's all three of you trying to see who can take out who first. So if you go after,
you gotta figure out who the player is in the crowd.
Yeah,
you don't want to be bottom of the barrel.
No, nobody wants to be in the bottom of the pickle barrel.
Yeah.
But the point is to take out the guy your target's going for, so that way you don't have any problems going after him, because he could still be looking for you. So I don't know if it tells you if your target's dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can do it any way you want. You can just go straight for him and then deal with the guy who's after you, or go for the guy who's after you and then go for him.
So the thing is, it's like you blend in just like you do in the game.
Yep.
Like, you're not dressed like an assassin. People are like, you're just another normal dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, you could be anybody, and so they could be anybody.
Yeah. And the more, and basically what it comes down to is the more you're good at blending, you know, which is actually a function in the game from part one and part two is a blend option, where you can blend in with the priest to sneak into town, stuff like that.
The better you are with the hookers.
Yeah, yeah. But the better you are at taking out your opponents, and that sounds so cool that they brought that in. The Harlequin is something they have. If you pre-order it from GameStop, you get the Harlequin outfit, and it's just a Joker, really creepy-looking Joker face.
Yeah, but I didn't pre-order. I actually went through Amazon again. I'm not going to blast them this time because they gave me $20.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm actually getting this game for $40.
Nice, nice. But the cool thing is that, you know, the only way they can do this is if they have a set amount of skins in the game that you can choose from that actually look like everybody else, which is fine. That's perfect, especially with the Harlequin. Because if the Harlequin sticks out like a sore fucking thumb, you're going to have those people who's like, I pre-ordered it. Why can't I beat this? Why do I keep getting spotted? You know, well, a fucking clown on top of a roof is pretty easy to see.
A clown with like two daggers.
Yeah, you're kind of hanging on the trellis up there. So I pull out my musket and, you know. So it looks really cool. The actual game, I can't wait to see how much of the actual, because this is not called Assassin's Creed 3, which
it's Assassin's Creed Brotherhood,
which is more aimed around the actual Brotherhood of Assassins they brought up in the second game. You know, because you actually build up in the second game, you build this entire Brotherhood, you become a part of them, and you actually get to go to some of the some of the heroes of the Assassins' tombs to find little secrets and stuff. And so this game's going to build more on that. And the cool thing is it brings in the option where you can actually call them in to battle while you're like to help distract guards. So you can go for your target to help you fight guards, whatever you want. And as you level up, you can level them up, deck them out with new armor, I think is what they said they were going to allow you to do, new weapons. So it looks like it's going to be pretty cool.
So I get some functional armor from getting it from Amazon. I don't get the Joker outfit, so I'm pretty okay with that.
Nice, nice. Anything that helps you sleep at night. But because I know you're going to be missing that Harlequin outfit later on.
Not really. Creepy-ass clown.
Creepy-ass clown. Not since Poltergeist. But that clown scared the shit out of me. But anyways, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Didn't bother me. It was Tim Curry. all I could think of was Annie the entire time. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I'm a huge fan. Can't wait to see it. You're buying it, so I'll just play it when you're at work. I'll let you play Tron. and that's it for new games that are coming out, pretty much. Don't forget that after that, quick reminder, Splatterhouse is going to be coming out for those of you old schoolers out there who are definitely looking forward to that. So
yeah, I'm going to try to get a hold of that.
Yep. And before the end of the year, we're also going to have Epic Mickey coming out. Worms. And yes, and Worms Armageddon for the PS1. So yeah, it's actually being released for PS1. Little weird, but yeah.
PlayStation 1 has a release. That's like Nintendo 64.
Dude, they still put out PlayStation 2 games.
That's 2.
Is
1.
Yeah, I know. But if it works on PlayStation, I don't know why they're doing it, but it's such an old game, I don't see why they wouldn't, to be honest with you. And that's one thing that's kind of interesting, is that they're still doing that. And also, don't forget, yeah, next month, Tron. Big thing in my book, because I'm a huge Tron. I'm a Tron Luddite. So, or troglodyte, whatever you want to call it. So, that's it for new releases. And I guess that brings us over into the comedy hour. I'm not going to call it comedy claptrap, even though I'm the one who named it. I'm not going to call it that.
Can you go through our submissions from last week?
Yeah, and last week's was basically, what is your favorite premillennial arcade game? Not console, and some people had a problem with that, but arcade before 2000.
You had some submissions too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did have some submissions. I did. Before we go into that, though, what was your choice for your favorite one?
Favorite one comes from Chris, and Mr. Parks here.
No, I meant your personal favorite, because we talked about that last week.
After everything that I went through to say what I like, Bad Dudes.
Bad Dudes? Okay.
Bad Dudes or Final Fight or... I guess I'm going to
have to... That's 3. If you say or.
Final Fight. I'm going to go with Final Fight. I like Final Fight better than Bad Dudes. A little bit more depth.
Mine were Rampage. One of the best games ever made.
Probably what I would have said.
Yeah, they need to bring a brand new version of Rampage with like Mecha Gods. Like actually get some of these trademarked people... Even get the bitch from Cloverfield, I don't care. Yeah, they need to get like Mecha Godzilla, Godzilla Mothra, you know, Gamera, all these people in. I'd be so happy. Even get a gigantic tiki god. That would make me so happy. Get Cthulhu in there. Oh, thank you. I would totally forgot about that. Anything Cthulhu always has my thumbs up because I'm a big Lovecraft fan. So,
did you say you had a favorite arcade?
I was going to say Rampage.
He took the wind out of your sails, huh?
Because I had that in Time Traveler, which was a hologram 3D game.
I had also brought up Time Crisis as well. But
yeah, Time Crisis.
What about Contra Hardcore is about to come out, too.
Contra. Oh, yeah.
Contra
was supposed to be hardcore or whatever. Isn't that like what the third one was hardcore?
I think so. Contra
3 was Alien Wars.
Yeah.
Now, another one that I thought about that I really used to play a lot was Raiden. The overhead flying game where you just shoot up the screen. You don't remember that one, do you?
Nah, sort of.
Yep, just called Raiden. It's probably
when I was really young. I used to play a lot of Galaga and Defender with Dad.
Oh yeah, Galaga. That was a fun freaking game, dude. For those of you out there who remember it, Raiden for the arcades was just like basically flying overhead. inside maps that were, you know, just whatever they were. But you get weapon upgrades and stuff. You could move forward and back, get weapon upgrades, and do, like, full splatter, you know, plasma weapons and stuff, and do, like, twirling fire.
Some of the first games that I was able to get for my Nintendo were a lot of, like, arcade knockoffs, basically.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, so 1940, whatever.
1942,
like,
yeah.
1942, the overhead plane flying games, that's, like, what Raiden's like.
See, I remember one of the very first video games I actually ever played was Kung Fu for Nintendo.
I remember that. That was actually yeah. pretty damn fun.
Yeah, where you do the hike.
That and Excitebike.
Yeah. That one, yeah, Excitebike was really fun in Zelda. That was it
track
was,
and field.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it was Kung Fu and Kung Fu and Zelda.
I was having
a
conversation
games.
Out in the smoke hole. Somebody I thought wasn't be into video games, and she's probably like almost 50.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about when she first got like the track and field. She'd sit on like a chair and like drum her feet.
Nice.
And she hadn't said, and that's how she learned how to play drums. So
nice. Well, I still have my Atari.
She's really big into the double bass and poison. So.
No, nice. And I remember when I was a kid sitting in my sister's room playing the Atari because she had a bigger TV than me, so I just bring it over. Because it's my Atari, I just bring it over there. But I still have my Atari 2600 floor model with some games, too. And I would play, like, Pitfall
tennis.
And Defender. I didn't have tennis, but...
Moon Patrol. Moon Patrol is one of those games I get really mad at.
Well,
I
it's so,
get, like, really upset.
It's so sad when you look at some of these games because there's like Nintendo and Atari games that sell for like $600
and they're so basic.
I know. Well, there was one that was. I remember. I think it was the most expensive.
Just get the emulator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But from this is like
Ramparts.
Yeah, but it was. It was. Was it? McNara's Ultimate Sports Olympics or something like that. I can't remember what it was called, but it's actually the most expensive video game. It sells for like I think $600-$700, and it's it's either Atari or Nintendo, and even without a box it sells for like, you know, hundreds of dollars. That's just like blown away, because I remember Shining Force 3 sells
that
for like
$300 quite a bit.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to find though. That's part of the deal.
Yeah, because it wasn't released in the US I think for more than like, I think it might have been released for a little bit, but it was a really brief window. Legend of the Dragoon is another one that sells for a lot of money. Silent Hill 1 now sells for like $60, so it's still selling
you
for
still,
double the price.
At a lot of the collector shops, if you get a like fairly good condition copy of Final Fantasy 7 actually
oh,
sells
yeah.
for quite a bit of money.
Yeah, same with Xenogears.
Still for
original.
Like $80, and I'm just like, man, it's a PS1 game.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was picking up used copies of that when I'd wear it out. I had like 4 copies at one
yeah.
time because I kept wearing it out, and I picking up for like $15.
Yeah, and it's not even, it's in my opinion, it's not even the best Final Fantasy game, but
no,
it's still...
It was a pretty good game.
Yeah, it was a good game, but it's not the best. It was good at that time. One of the best, but I don't know why they keep franchising off of Final Fantasy VII bullshit, you know?
Well, we're segueing hardcore.
Yeah, we are. Anyways, so do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go with some of my submissions here. So I had some submissions from some people. And Mr. Chris Parts has one that's very near and dear to my heart. He said, Samurai Showdown.
Nice.
Fucking love that game. It's a great game. It's one of my... arcade experiences that I just loved.
Yeah,
played a lot of it in Boy Scouts, actually.
Yeah, I bet you did.
And Killer Instinct, it's also an excellent game.
I think that was Andrew's.
Yeah, that's actually one of Andrew's submissions. He's got quite a few more. He's got Galaga and Tron.
Those are good.
He's got Joust and
Cupert. I remember the old huge, the dash on Tron had the huge fucking circle wheel you would fucking turn.
Yeah, I remember
so
that.
Bash and bash and bash. Like, I can't do it fast enough.
I hated those stupid fucking balls.
Yeah, I bet you did.
He had a Double Dragon and Centipede. Mm-hmm. I'd go more for the Double Dragon than Centipede. Centipede got kind of repetitive.
Yeah. Well, it was about a fucking centipede. So.
Yeah. Mr. Dave that was on here a little while back, he said Magic Sword.
Now, Dave's a whore because he gave you
he
one.
He gave me a submission to give
and
you one.
He gave me a different submission, so he's a whore. Mr. Steve Dave.
Our friend Nia said Pac-Man or Space Invaders.
Nice.
I think I had one more here. And then Carrie, she says Space Channel. I say Channel 5. I don't even know what the fuck that was. But
I remember that. That was not an arcade game, though, I don't think.
Okay, I think she's just throwing that out there to be fun. So that's all I really have. What else do you got?
Oh, no, she even says it wasn't an arcade game. Yeah, she says it wasn't.
She just wanted to put something up there.
Yeah.
What do you got?
All right, for me, from John.
Oh, John threw you one.
John, yeah, yeah. John, because he usually throws you stuff, so he sent it to me this time. John from the Carousel podcast.
Carousel podcast.com. Yeah. Yes. Plugging you here, John.
Yep. He sent me two originally, and I corrected him on one of them because I knew there was one that he really liked that he forgot to mention because I mentioned it. He sent me the Avengers and X-Men as well as Sunset Riders, actually. And,
all excellent games.
Yeah, all excellent games. And I was surprised he didn't say Ninja Turtles Arcade.
Yeah, because he is a big Ninja Turtles nerd.
Yeah, because I was actually talking about that last week and how much I love playing that. And I mentioned that on the thing saying, why didn't you mention that? He was like, he was like, I forgot.
I like the X-Men song. Like,
yeah, yeah. That was horrible. Matt Buckley.
What'd he say?
That he said WrestleFest, of course. This guy's like...
He looks like a wrestler.
Yeah, this guy's like a wall, you know? He's a really tall guy, and he's like a pussycat. But yeah, he looks like a wrestler, and he says WrestleFest. Kenneth Mesnard, my friend Kenneth, he actually agreed with me and said Time Traveler was one of his all-time favorite games. So that was good. And then Dave Roy, who gave you a submission... Yeah, he gave you...
Magic Sword.
Yeah, Magic Sword. He gave me Rolling Thunder.
Nice.
Yes. Which I thought at first was a Garth Brooks song. I remember that was Thunder Roll, not Rolling Thunder. Roll. And the thunder roll, and a strike of lightning.
It was on the radio a lot for a while.
That's how I remember that part.
You'd hear it in like fast food restaurants.
Yeah. No shit. Anyways...
that's all the submissions we got for now.
Yeah, ain't nothing like eating fast food. Listen to a song about beating your wife. So, because I remember that song was actually about spousal abuse, if I remember.
Is it really?
Yes, if I recall. I don't remember, but I think that was actually about spousal abuse. So it just made that Big Mac taste even tastier. So, but that's all we got for...
submissions.
Yeah, submissions. And so that brings us to next week's. And it took us a long time to decide what we were going to do for next week. And I came up with, we came up with a good one, which was basically in-game food. Doesn't matter if it gets you stats or not, just an in-game food from any game that you wish was actually real. Because either it's really disgusting sounding or it sounds really good. Or whatever, like, you know, sugar bombs
from Fallout.
From Fallout.
They didn't used to give you stats. You could make Jet out of them in the first one.
Yeah.
Or in the first, not the first one, in Fallout 3.
Yeah.
And now they give you extra action points.
Yeah. Or Nuka-Cola, which would have been a great one.
Yeah.
So.
They got the Nuka-Cola victory now. And then
Sunset, and the Quantum.
Sarsaparilla.
Sunset.
It's Sarsaparilla. It's Sarsaparilla. So. But,
What's your entry?
Well, actually, I was going to go with Matt, the guest.
Oh, yeah,
first.
Matt had a pretty lengthy entry, actually.
No, it's actually pretty short. It's just the...
it just lasts a while.
Yeah, just the... just the mushrooms from Super Mario, the big man mushrooms.
Yeah, that has some real-world reference, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's actually said to be, as far as I know, actually supposed to be like a Animita muscaria, which is like a Siberian poisonous mushroom that... nomads ate and wandered around in the frozen tundra, I guess. And
it's like a trip balls.
Yeah, and they came up with Santa Claus.
They came up with Santa Claus. I know they came up with the flying reindeer, though. And
so, Santa just followed suit.
Yeah, he was like, hey, this is probably a good idea.
Yeah, but also Jesus Christ and was
Jesus,
another reference to somebody who took them.
Speculation of Jesus Christ eating them, and they're pretty historical.
See, that takes me back to like Altered States. You ever seen that movie?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
It's all about the death heads mushroom from South America, and the tribes down there will take it and trip and have like vision quests and spirits quest, and it's all about. slightly based on a true story, which when Hollywood says that,
they got an idea. It's loosely
idea.
Based on a story that might be true.
A guy ate some mushrooms. That's all that happened. But it's about a guy who started experimenting with a death head's mushroom in an isolation tank. And since he was basically going through an entire trip, but with no sensory, his body as well started to revert back to almost...
primal.
He de-evolved back into what he was before. So his like larynx at one point changes in the movie, and it's not human anymore. It's like Neanderthal, and eventually it turns into like this weird worm creature, which is supposed to be some kind of like larval stage of amoeba mankind. But it's a great movie, one of the really good movie.
It's pretty strange.
One of my favorites. So, but that involves mushrooms as well.
I was watching something on some guy that created an isolation tank.
I've always wanted to make one.
And at like. Yeah. except you lay in water up to your ears, mm-hmm. and you just lay flat on your back, and it's pitch black, and you can't see anything, and the water is the same temperature as the air, and mm-hmm. you lay on your back and close it down, and you sit in it for a certain amount of time, and it's supposed to make you crazy hallucinate after 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's what they use in this movie. I've always wanted to make one, because what you do is you take the water and you boost the magnesium content, which actually makes you more buoyant, so you don't sink even if you fall asleep. I put a lot of research into isolation tanks.
What do I need to get from Ace Hardware today?
If
in our living room.
Yeah, no, actually, if I didn't have a roommate and I had the extra room, I would actually probably build an isolation tank and just fucking go at it.
No sound, no light.
Yeah.
There's
no sound, no light, no sensation to touch, no nothing.
Probably need a spotter or something.
They say you're supposed to, but some people don't. What's your submission for food and video games that you wish were real?
Mega Mammoth Meal.
Mega Mammoth Meal.
It was a stat food from Warcraft. Yeah. Wrath of the Lich King, actually. But it was you can find mammoth meat everywhere, and you can make food for everybody.
It was on the Outlands menu, I think it's in Outlands, It's been a long time since I played.
While since I played, too. There's that, and then more recently from New Vegas, Rad Scorpion Stew.
Rad Scorpion Stew.
There's only one person that can make it for you. I'm sure if you boost your survival high enough, it's supposed to unlock some recipes, so, kill those rad scorpions. You got something to do with those stingers.
Other than poke yourself with them to hallucinate. So, for mine, I'm going to go with some Warcraft food, too, just because they have such a large banquet of decisions on there. And I'm going to go with Kongaloosh, just because the name is so fucking crazy. But Mighty Rhino Dogs.
Hey, that was a strength food, man.
Yeah, Mighty Rhino Dogs, and that was from the...
I put it on my paladin so I can make him stronger for better attacks.
Yeah. And I would also go with clam bars, just because that sounds so fucking disgusting to eat congealed clam.
Ice cream.
Yeah, I bet it is. And then haunted herring, just because I've always wanted a fish to talk to me when I'm eating it. It reminds me of the movie High Spirits. Do you remember that movie at all? It's about the haunted Irish castle who's trying to up their clientele, so they claim they're haunted only to find out they really are fucking haunted. And there's a scene where everybody decides, all these guests are there, and they decide, you know what, if we just don't pay attention to the ghosts, they won't bother us. So there's this cook in the kitchen, he's whistling a song, and this guest walks by, and the guy starts whistling, and this dead fish on the table starts whistling, and he takes his meat cleaver and slams it right down into the fish and cuts its head off, and it still whistles, and he goes, I don't hear anything, do you? And he's like, no. it's one of my favorite parts. It's a really silly movie, but it's pretty funny. And it's got Steve Guttenberg, the guy who played Mahoney from Police Academy. Yeah, and Daryl Hannah, I think, is the other person in it. But yeah, it's just because it reminds me of that haunted herring. I wish that was real.
Nice.
Yes.
So, which brings us to our last section, the gauntlet.
The gauntlet. And I'll let you take the gauntlet, even though I'm moderator. I'll let you take it.
Oh, you'll let me?
Yes.
So, this Sunday, 9 o'clock Central Time, we're going to do some more MNC. There hasn't been enough multiplayer out there that everybody has in this cast. So we're going to do some MNC action.
And also, we just really like promoting MNC because it is...
It's kind of an underdog game that really deserves more attention. They got DLC planned for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think everybody should get it. It's only... What is it, $15?
Maybe, something like that, yeah.
We always have a lot of fun when we play it.
Oh, yeah, you can play it for hours.
We had one day where we got pizza and a bunch of Mountain Dew, and we played it for 6 hours.
Yeah, and it's all ranked, too. So other than the single player, the offline co-op, where you're not actually going against multiplayer, so every fight you have on the actual crossfire is ranked, and it ups your ranking.
Well, I think there's almost 200,000 people that are playing it.
Yeah, I think there is about 200,000, maybe 200. I think it's actually a quarter mil even now. I think it might be 250,000, because I know there's an even, I think, half mil are playing Limbo, because we had this conversation once before, and I think it was 250,000 are playing MNC now. And it needs a lot more people.
Yeah, it does. I think everybody should pick up a copy. It's a pretty damn fun game.
Because even in $250,000, I still run into some of the same people who I really don't like playing with. Because they're total dicks.
I think it's regional or something.
I have no idea.
So find us on Xbox Live. I'm Nostalgia. It's KNAUSTALGIA.
Trent is Gorgasm 23. Matt, you don't have an Xbox, do you?
No, I do not.
Yeah, you're a PS3 fanboy.
Absolutely not.
It's all right.
And this will be on Sunday night, which is the 14th at 9 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah.
You figure out the math and find us.
Yeah, you can find our gamer tags on the front of the page.
Yeah, and we'll be in a party, so all you got to do is just find us on, just basically add one of us.
Yeah, and just send us a message, and then we'll add you. We're not mean people.
Oh, yeah.
Despite being pretty crass, we're not going to make fun of you. We just want to... Want to pwn you or give you the opportunity to pwn us. So
yeah, and one thing I will do is we haven't done the rules in a while.
Oh, yeah. You can tell us a little bit about the rules there,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, we haven't done those in a while. And with the gauntlet, the rules are if you're going to play, please have a headset.
Yes.
Because with a lot of games we play, there's a lot of strategy involved, so it's hard to strategize when somebody can't talk back.
It's hard to shit-talk somebody when they don't shit-talk back at you, too.
We're not going to do that to them, though. And then...
you might not.
Yeah. it's okay to, like, you know, if you want to make some jokes here and there, that's one thing, but...
Granny trannies are okay.
Yeah.
Racial slurs are not okay.
Call my mom's a whore. Okay.
Racial slurs we don't deal with, so...
Yeah, don't do any of that. And basically no cheating as well, yeah. Keep it clean and fair.
Yeah, that's all we got to say.
Yeah, like last time we were playing Halo on the gauntlet, we had a guy that popped in who could fire a needler rifle, like a assault rifle. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that.
No, I watched it straight up. He came right up to me point blank. And the needle rifle shoots individual little needlers. It's a sniper rifle, and he fired, and all I saw was this beautiful spectrum of just all at once. Like 10 needles hit me and I explode. It was not a needler gun. It was a needler rifle.
It was like a semi-auto.
Yeah.
He could have just had a turbo controller.
I don't know. But it totally pissed me the fuck off that he pulled that off. And I was like, what the fuck, you know? And then he started stalking us because he came into like 3 of our other games. So, and he was not on our list or anything. And every time he come in, just, oh, dude, totally
sucked. So MVP again, for somebody who's not in the cast, we could say Density.
Denzity. We've already given it to him before.
Yeah, he always follows us on the Halo, though.
No, it's because he's a follower.
We need to get some Artisan 002. That's Scott.
Yeah, we'll
get
him.
On the cast.
Well, we can give it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't playing that night.
Oh, he wasn't?
No.
Oh, yeah. I forget. I always forget because I play with him quite a bit.
But anyways, yeah.
In-game.
We'll post your name on there if you hang out long enough, so... Post your name on the website. We'll keep this a little bit more updated. We've just been updating on the podcast. Apparently one of us forgot to update it on the website.
I just totally lost track on the gauntlet.
Yeah, so. It's all right. So, yep. Anyways, yeah, check us out on the gauntlet. I don't really have anything left. Trent?
No, I don't have anything. Matt?
Done.
We're ready to drink some beer, aren't we?
Damn.
It's done, like Donkey Kong. Actually, no, did you hear about that?
You got to bring
One last thing. Yeah, Nintendo is actually... trying to get the patent rights for the phrase "It's on like Donkey Kong."
Wow!
Yeah,
so we're gonna say it here before it's patented. It's on like Donkey.
It's
Kong.
It's on like Donkey Kong. Fuck you, Nintendo. One last free one.
Oh, and we'll see you later.
That sounded so.
Yeah.